नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So far we have discussed teachings of Lord Kapila till 27th chapter, where Kapila answers the first three questions of Mother Devahuti. He explains about Adhyatmika Yoga, then Bhakti, and also Jnana. Now he'll explain about Yoga in the 28th chapter. 28. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yogasya Lakshanam Vakshye, Sabijasya Nripatmaje, Manoyenaiva Vidhina, Prasannam Yati Satpatham.
The Personality of God had said, "My dear mother, O daughter of king, now I shall explain to you the system of yoga, the object of which is to concentrate the mind. By practicing this system, one can become joyful and progressively advance towards the path of absolute truth."
So, in this chapter, the first 12 verses describe the limbs of Ashtanga Yoga. So, what are different limbs? Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, the definitions are given with little details of Yama and Niyama. And 13 to 18 describes the form of the Lord which one is supposed to meditate upon during the Dharana stage of his Ashtanga Yoga. There are 8 stages: Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pratyahara, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So till Pratyahara means the first 5 stages are very briefly explained. Then Dharana is, one has to fix his concentration upon the form of the Lord. So what is that form? That is described from 13 to 18. Then Dhyana means deeper meditation. So Dharana intensified, right? Deeper meditation on the individual limbs of the Lord. So that is described from 19 to 33. Meditation on individual limbs of the Lord. Then finally, what happens after that meditation? So what will be the destination of the yogi who is doing all this meditation? Who will attain liberation? Who will not? All these are described. So now we will start from the first verse, where Kapila says, "I will describe the yoga system, which is Bhakti Mishra Yoga, Bhakti Mishra Ashtanga Yoga." So this yoga is mixed with bhakti. So the object of which is to concentrate the mind on the Supreme Lord. So object of yoga means to concentrate on the Supreme Lord. So by following this, the mind attains a joyful spiritual path. That's how he says. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that the desired result of yoga is not to achieve some mystic powers. Many times yogis perform yoga to attain mystic siddhis, anima, mahima, etc., etc. So that is their Ashtanga Yoga result. But that is not supposed to be the result. So when someone attains siddhis, actually he doesn't gain much. There is no spiritual gain there. So these yogic siddhis are also on a material plane only. Somebody may get a siddhi of walking on the water. Somebody may become very small. Somebody will become very big. So these are all tools. What will you do with those tools? That is more important. Hanumanji has all these tools. So he can become small, he can become big. When he has to cross the ocean of Lanka, he can become big. When some Lankini or someone, not Lankini, who is that? Sarasa. When the demoness opens her mouth, he can become small also. He can become big also. Basically, he is utilizing all these ashtasiddhis in the service of the Lord. So unless the devotional service is not there, merely attaining these siddhis is not of any use. right? Not much use. And further, somebody who has these siddhis will have a strong urge to use those siddhis to impress people, to get followers. That is the biggest drawback. So if he learns to become big or become small, or just walk on water, or fly in air, unless someone sees and claps, he will not have any maja in doing that, right? So will any yogi will just go to a river and then just keep walking on the water? Will he get any joy in just doing that? But on the bank, of, you know, 10 people are standing and 100 people are standing and clapping. Arey, wow, kya kar rahe, kya kar? Then people will be satisfied. Yogis will be satisfied. So His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was addressing like I think TEDx, that event is there. Na? There he says, I have seen so many yogis perform so many mystic performances, siddhis. Because in his travelings when he was in teenage and early 20s, so he was traveling all over India and then he's seeing different people practicing different kinds of mystic siddhis. So he said, I have seen all these people, but I was never impressed by them. Because I was comparing their ability to perform these miraculous activities with the ability of God to perform miraculous activities. So what is God's miraculous activity? You go under a tree, you will see the seed of a tree, and that seed has the potency to produce this big tree. So God has invested that small seed, banyan tree seed, to become so huge tree which can give millions of seeds and shelter to millions of pilgrims, and then a place for so many birds to stay, and also a lot of firewood, and so many other things will come. So God has invested that much power in one seed. Compared to that mystic siddhi that God is displaying in every moment of our life, and it is there everywhere, you can see. The tree is today like this, after 1 year you see it will become so big. Now mountain is like this, very clean. Just now monsoon has cleaned the mountain nicely. See, after 1 month, it will become very dirty. Right? Now you see everything green. Just now monsoon ended. After some time, things will start becoming brown. And again, when monsoon comes, everything will become green. So there is a lot of pattern in this nature. Who has invested that potency in the nature? Where is that mystic power in the nature coming from? God. Compared to that, the performances of these yogis of creating one tula of gold. So Maharaj writes in that book, Journey Home book, that there is one yogi who has a big rod, iron rod. He puts it on the ear and then does something and then puts pressure and then bends that rod through the pressure from the ear, from the eye. Getting right? You put some rod, then that rod will go inside your eye, but he's bending that rod. And later the eye becomes just little red only, not more than that. Not more effect. So he has some power to do that. So people are gathering together and then clapping and then giving him some dakshina and then throwing some money. Ultimately, that display of mystic siddhi is meant to get money, which you can get just by working hard also. What is the difference? So somebody said, I can walk on water. See, you have developed this mystic siddhi. Then another person is saying that is like just 2 rupee worth. I can give 2 rupees to that boatman and he will take me from this bank to that bank. Abhitna, this 10-20 years you have done tapasya and then attained this one siddhi which I can do within 2 rupees. It's not worth it, basically. So that's what Prabhupada is highlighting here also. Desired result of yoga is not to achieve some wonderful mystic power. Yoga means just dovetailing one's consciousness with supreme consciousness, right? Linking oneself with Krishna. So that is to attain progressive realization on the path of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is supposed to be the yoga. So when we are discussing this Ashtanga Yoga process, the middle, the dhyana part, where meditation of limbs, various limbs of the Lord are coming, That is very much devotional. You can't just say that this is Ashtanga Yoga part, we will neglect it. So that is very much relevant for the devotees. Right? Devotees take a lot of pleasure because we are all personalists. We believe that God is person, not impersonal, Brahman, light. So when he has a person, he has a form also. And what are the details of that form? They are described here in this chapter. Now we will begin with the second verse, different limbs of Ashtanga Yoga. First, Yama and Niyama, they are described in three verses, 2, 3 and 4. Svadharma charanam shaktyam vidharma chanivartanam daivalabdhena santosham atmavicharanarchanam. So, Swadharma Acharanam Shiktya. Swadharma means prescribed duties. Acharana means you follow. Shiktya, as much as your capacity. To the best of your ability, follow your Swadharma. Second, Vidharma Acha Nivartanam. Remove, don't follow Vidharma. Vidharma means opposite of Swadharma. You are recommended to do something, and you do something opposite. For example, 10 to 1, your prescribed duty is to sit in Vidyapit class. And you sit in Goshala and then brush cows. So that is Vidharma for you. That is a good thing. But that is Vidharma for a Vidyapit student. To do that in this time. So Vidharma cha nivartanam. Avoid performing duties which are not allotted to you. Do your duty. Then Daivat labdhena santosha. Yesterday also we discussed this point. Daivat labdhena. Whatever is coming on its own accord by the whatever is destined to you, accept it. Santosha, be satisfied in accepting it. Don't accept it grudgingly. Helplessly you have to accept anyways. But inside you are not satisfied. Dissatisfaction. Yadrichaya upalabdhena santushto. Yesterday we read, right? Now third. Atmavit charanarchanam. So worship the lotus feet of spiritual master. Atmavit means one who is self-realized. Atmavit. Sammatah pumsam surotavyajishuyah paraha. Atmavit means knower of the science of Atma. That is Guru. So charanarchanam, worship his lotus feet. So these are the first four rules. Next. Now Prabhupada is elaborating on this. If one is fortunate to transcend designations of birth in particular society or community by being elevated to the standard of spiritual identity, then his swadharma is solely that of serving Supreme Personality of Godhead. Swadharma. Prabhupada gives very highest devotional meanings of all these words. Swadharma. Swadharma is parodharma, like that. He must simply serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the real execution of Swadharma. Swadharma is literally means prescribed duty. For example, you are belonging to certain varna or certain ashram. There are some duties. According to Varna and Ashtam. That is Swadharma. But the highest dharma is Parodharma. Savai Pumsam Parodharmo Yato Bhakti Radhokshade. Right? So that Prabhupada gives. Gramya Dharma Nivrittischa Moksha Dharma Ratistatham Mitamedhyadanam Shasvad Viviktakshema Sevanam.
One should cease performing conventional religious practices and should be attracted to those who lead to salvation. One should eat very frugally and should always remain secluded so that he can achieve the highest perfection of life.
So, gramya dharma nivritti, cessation of conventional religious practices. There are some very meager practices, right? So religious practices for economic development or satisfaction of sense desires. So these are all like basic things. So that is called gramya dharma. Remove it. Dharma projita kaitavo atra paramo. So gramya dharma nivartanam. Cessation of conventional religious practices. Then moksha dharma ratihi. Get attracted to moksha dharma. Dharma for salvation. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Four things are there. So the initial three are also part of dharma only. But they keep you in this world. But the fourth one, moksha, is taking you out of the world. So focus more on that. So gramya dharma, moksha dharma. substandard and highest standard. So next, mita medhyadanam, eat, limited, regulated eating, eat very frugally. Mita means limited. Shashvat vivikta kshema svayanam. So that comes in the that is third and fourth lines. See, shashvat vivikta kshema sevanam, always remaining in secluded place. Yesterday also we have seen this. So some of these rules are a part of Ashtanga Yoga also. Some are part of Jnana also. But they are also part of Bhakti Yoga also. There is some basic set of rules that a human being, any transcendentalist is supposed to follow, remain the same. Right? So those basics we cannot violate. Next. Prabhupada elaborates on these points. Just like, for example, this word is there. This mita medhyayadanam means one has to eat very frugally, limited, regulated eating. That means half of his hunger has to be supplemented by water. So just now, recently our Prabhu, Gaur Charan Prabhu was sharing with me. Our stomach is like fist, this size only. So there was a big article about how to eat regulated way. So fill half the stomach with food, then 1/4 for water, and remaining 1/4 for air. So air is there within sky, is it not? So there should be some sky or ether also within our stomach so that air can pass. If it is totally fit with solid food or water, then air doesn't have much place to pass. So that's what Prabhupada also is saying that here. So then if that kind of things are followed, then there will be no indigestion or disease. I am not the right person to say this, but it's mentioned here. Ahimsa satyam asteyam yavadartha parigraha brahmacharyam tapashaucham svadhyayah purusharchanam.
One should practice non-violence and truthfulness, should avoid thieving and be satisfied with possessing as much as needs for his maintenance. He should abstain from sex life, perform austerity, be clean, study the Vedas and worship the Supreme Form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So ahimsa is non-violence, satyam, truthfulness, then asteyam, refraining from theft, yavad artha parigraha, possessing only what is necessary. Yavad artha parigraha. Artha means you have some purpose for it. You have one phone, you have a purpose, you have use, you can use it. No point keeping 10 phones. Right? You can't give time to 10 phones. Right? You can't recharge all the 10 SIM cards. You can't use them. You don't have time to use them also. So, but keep one only, like that. So, yavad artha parigraha, possessing whatever is necessary only. Don't possess more than necessary. Jyada hai toh, kisko de dena ka. You need one pen, keep one pen. You are highlighting also, you need one highlighter, keep one. If you keep 10 pens and don't give to others and you also don't use it, the ink will clot and then you have to throw the refill later. Nowadays people don't throw the refill, they throw the pen only. Right? In our childhood, pen is one, we keep on changing refills. But now they throw the pen and then get a new pen. Waste increasing. Next, brahmacharyam, celibacy. Tapaha means austerity. Saucham, cleanliness. Svadhyaya, study of Vedas, what you are doing now. Purusha archanam, worshipping the Purusha, Supreme Lord. Maunam is silence. So these are all Purusha archanam. Maunam will come later. Maunam, that is in the fifth verse. So these are all the yamas and niyamas. You have some point?
So the basic set
question
of...
is coming with a smile.
You notice that, Prabhuji, you said there should be basic set of rules that should be common for all the transcendental procedures. Is it the element of bhakti or?
No, they are common for all things.
So, but unless we have element of bhakti in all of those, one
yeah, some of them are, as you said, some of them are elements of bhakti also. Right? For example, hearing about the Lord, that also comes under jnana. But that comes under bhakti also.
For For example, Ashtanga Yogi, what is the element of bhakti for him?
Meditation on the Lord. Whole chapter is that only. We also meditate. They also meditate on the limbs of the Lord. Every day we take darshan, right? Lotus feet to lotus face. Every day we take darshan. 7 o'clock we take, 4:30 we take. And whenever you happen to come there, you may take. So they also take darshan within their heart. Meditation, right? And after this full meditation, what they do, an unfortunate yogi, we will discuss, I think, this question. After 2 hours, it will be answered. But now I will reveal the answer because we are very eager. A fortunate yogi, after meditating on the limbs of the Lord, he gets attached to the form of the Lord and he will become a devotee. So by doing this basic element of bhakti, of meditating on the Lord's form, this yogi will become a bhakta. But an unfortunate yogi will think that, arey, main dhyana stage mein atak gaya. I have to go to samadhi. He will retract his mind from that beautiful form of the Lord and focus on impersonal liberation. So, if the different elements of bhakti which are there in other processes influence the yogi, jnana yogi or ashtanga yogi, to become a devotee, then he's fortunate. He'll come into bhakti yoga marga. But if he's unfortunate, he will continue in that marga and attain impersonal liberation or mystic siddhis, this and that. Clear? Fourth purport. In yoga practice, one should concentrate the mind on the person of Krishna. So, one has to worship the form of the Lord. Then Prabhupada also mentions about brahmacharyam, that one should lead his life simply for realization of Brahman. Brahman charati iti brahmachari visena. Everyone who accumulates more than he needs is called a thief. So all spiritual activities should be understood from three sources: Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Practicing yoga without reading literatures. This is about Swadhyaya. Practicing yoga without reading standard literatures is simply a waste of time. One will concoct his own process of meditation without any reference to Shastras. Meditation means one has to meditate on the limbs of the Lord. Ashtanga Yoga, that is bona fide Ashtanga Yoga. And you start meditating on different other things. Somebody will meditate on some sports star, how he is lifting his bat and how he is doing this. You meditate on anything. In our college, 10 years back, 11 years back, when I was studying, so we have one classmate. He would say, he is following some yoga, right? Yoga, before yoga is some other word, I can't share it. So and so yoga he is following. And you meditate on anyone. And you can meditate on Durga, you can meditate on Hanuman, you can meditate on this or that. Anything you can meditate on, right? But you meditate. That is important. On what you meditate, that is not important. For you, God can be Krishna. For me, God can be this fellow. But meditation should be there. That will keep you cool. That will make you advance in this way, like that. So, Prabhupada says, practicing yoga means, it should be done based on three sources: Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Without that, without studying Shastra, whatever yoga one may concoct and practice, that is simply a waste of time. That is mentioned in the fourth purport. Last paragraph, Swadhyaya. Now fifth verse. Maunam sadasana jayaham. Sthairyam prana jayashanaihi. Pratyaharaschendriyanam. Vishayan manasahridi.
One must observe silence, acquire steadiness by practicing different yogic postures, control the breathing of the vital air, withdraw the senses from sense objects, and thus concentrate the mind on the heart.
So, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. These stages are described in 5th and 6th verses. So, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th verses are description of yama and nima. You can see in Subodhini also. There are 18 points that we discussed till now. Some of them are yama, some of them are niyama. Which is what? You can see Chakvatipa's commentary and you can see Subodhini also. In the note we mentioned, bold points on the above list are yamas, but I didn't make them bold, I made them italic. So that is a mistake. So they are yamas and niyamas, 18 points. Means do's and don'ts. So yama can also be called niyama. It's just about making how to frame the sentence only. Okay. Drink cold water. Means don't drink hot water. When you say drink cold water, that is yama. Don't drink hot water means that is niyama. Like that. Prescription and regulation. Prescription is cold water. Right? Then that becomes prohibition. Prescription and prohibition. Prohibition means don't drink hot water. Okay. Inventor, that is the other way around. Now, fifth verse is describing about asana, pranayama and pratyahara. So, asana, in the fifth verse, the first word maunam is also part of yamaniyama only. That goes into the previous set. Now, sad asana jayaha. Asana means attaining steadiness by sitting in correct postures, asanas. Okay. Then pranayama means controlling the breathing air. Right, air within. Pratyahara means withdrawing senses from material objects and concentrating on the mind or heart. That is in the fifth verse. So, Prabhupada writes, sit properly. Mind and attention become steady enough to practice yoga if one is able to sit nicely. So, asana. Next, sixth verse. Svadhishtyanam ekadeshe manasa pranadharanam Vaikunthalila Bhidhyanam Samadhanam Tathatmanaham.
Fixing the vital air and the mind in one of the six circles of vital air circulation within the body. Thus concentrating one's mind on the transcendental pastimes of Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Samadhi or Samadhana of the mind.
So, sixth verse describes the last three stages. Dharana means fixing the prana in one spot among the various chakras by the mind. Chakravarti Pada also gives this definition. Then dhyana is meditating on the various limbs of the Lord. Next, samadhi means the state of minds being virtually absorbed in the Lord. Total absorption, trance, that is samadhi. So, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So, these are the eight limbs of Ashtanga Yoga. So, Prabhupada writes in this purport, six circles of vital air circulation are there in the body. Belly, heart, there are six chakras, right? Shat chakras. So samadhi is not artificially stopping the bodily state. It is a state achieved when mind is virtually absorbed in the thoughts of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Samadhi means one cannot attain samadhi by some artificial means. So samadhi means completely is absorbed. After dharana, means overall meditation on the Lord, focusing on one point. Literally, dharana means focusing on one point, fixing mind on one thing, one particular thing. Here it is Lord's form. So, dhyana means meditating on individual limbs, right? More detailed observation. Now you see mountain. That is what? Dharana. Now you see tree is there here, this green tree is there. Later there, some creeper is there, some rock is there, some waterfall is there. You go very detailed observation, zoom. Right, seeing the full image is dharana. Going zoom into every single detail is dhyana. Right, deeper meditation. Next is samadhi. By that meditation, by that deep meditation, you just get so absorbed in that, so lost in that you will lose consciousness of external things only. That is samadhi, trance. So these three are like progressive stages of meditation. Dharana, dhyana and samadhi. So these are the eight limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, which are described in the first six verses. Next, seventh verse. Etairanyaischa patibhir manodushtam asatpatham buddhyayunjita shanakair jitaprano hyatandritaha.
By these processes or any other true process, one must control the contaminated, unburdened mind, which is always attracted by material enjoyment, and thus fix himself in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So, this is how one needs to practice this Ashtanga Yoga or any other bona fide process, so that mind's contamination is removed and it can focus on the Lord. That is the purpose of yoga. In Ashtanga yoga, you are just mainly focusing on the Lord's form. That means you are withdrawing your mind from various other material objects and trying to focus on a spiritual object, spiritual form of the Lord. So that's a very wonderful process. Right? So by that, one's mind can be controlled and be fixed on the Lord. Now, 8th verse onwards, there are little extra details of these 8 elements of Ashtanga Yoga. So Prabhupada writes in this 7th purport that the real yogi is one who is constantly absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna or activities of Krishna or service of Krishna. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana. Shraddhavan bhajate yomam sami yukta tamo mataha. So the topmost yogi is one who is practicing Krishna consciousness. The topmost yoga is Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada says in the 7th purport. Now 8th purport reveals the requirements for the first stage, the third stage called asana. That is 8th verse. Suchaudeshe pratishthapya vijitasana asanam tasmin swasti samasinam rujukayaha samabhyaset.
After controlling one's mind and sitting postures, one should spread a seat in a secluded and sanctified place, sit there in an easy posture, keeping the body erect and practice breath control.
So these are the requirements for asana. So in the 5th verse it is mentioned that asana means proper sitting posture. Where do I sit? Should I sit on this floor, or should I sit on the stage, or should I go and sit on the mountain, or should I sit in a local train, or should I sit in some middle of the road? So which is the best place? The requirements are clearly mentioned here. Suchau deshe, in a clean place. Pratishthapya, you place a, you know, asana. Vijitasana, asanam. Tasmin swasti samasinaha, sit in an easy posture. Rujukayaha, keeping the body erect. Samabhyaset, one should practice. So one should practice by keeping body erect and sit in a proper asana so that you are not moving here and there. You are not discomforted. If you have leg pains, you have to move. After break, I'll go there. My asana will change. So these are the requirements. Even Krishna also explains this in the 6th chapter, Ashtanga Yoga. Next, 9th verse. Pranasya shodhayen margam purakumbhakare chakaihi pratikulena vachittam yathasthiram achanchalam.
The yogi should clear the passage of vital air by breathing in the following manner. First, he should inhale very deeply, then hold the breath in and finally exhale, or reversing the process. The yogi can first exhale, then hold the breath outside and finally inhale. This is done so that the mind may become steady and free from external disturbances.
So pranayam. So one should purify the passage for prana by doing this puraka, rechaka, kumbhaka. So puraka is inhaling, kumbhaka is holding, then rechaka is exhaling. So all this you control. Some yogis are there, you can ask them. Okay. So next, 10th verse. This is pranayama. So Prabhupada writes about pranayama in the purport. So aim of breathing exercise is to control the mind and fix on Supreme Personality of Godhead. Savayamana Krishna Padaravindayo. So Prabhupada means come to conclusion. Right? Don't just stop there. So one way is how this puraka is done, rechaka is done, kumbhaka is done, pranayama, technical details. But Prabhupada reminds you of the purpose. You are doing all this so that you can control your mind and focus on the Lord. He reminds you in the purport. And he quotes the highest example of Ambarish Maharaj. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikuntha gunanavarnane. So like that. So focusing on the Supreme Lord, one should not lose focus there. By keeping so much focus on the breathing, one should not forget focusing on the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada reminds that. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasananya gamina. Then kirtaniya sadahari. All that proposes. Tenth. Manochiratsyad virajam. Jitasvasasya yoginaham. Vayvagnibhyam yatha loham. Dhmatam tyajati vaimalam.
The yogis who practice such breathing exercises are very soon freed from all mental disturbances, just as the gold, when put into fire and fanned with air, becomes free from all impurities.
So again, 10th verse is giving the result or the purpose of all that. So by practicing such pranayama, means breathing exercises, one will be freed from mental disturbances. It's like gold, when put into fire, is freed from air. Right, freed from any impurities. So that is the purpose. Purpose of yoga is to control the mind and purify the mind of the impurities. So mind, uncontrolled mind means it focuses on hundreds of other things. Controlled mind means the unwanted focus on different things is removed. And only the wanted thing is given to the mind. That is what controlling mind is. So pranayama helps in controlling the mind. Next, 11th verse. Pranayamair dahet doshan. Dharanadi dharanabdhi chakilbishan. Pratyaharena samraga samsargan. Dhyane naishwaran gunan.
By practicing the process of pranayama, one can eradicate the contamination of his physiological condition. And by concentrating the mind, one can become free from all sinful activities. By restraining the senses, one can free himself from material association. And by meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become free from the three modes of material attachment.
Now we have seen these stages of yama, niyama, asana, pranayama. Pratyahara is like withdrawing the senses. Okay? So, he is giving the results or effects of these processes, especially the last four. One is pranayama. By doing pranayama, what is doing pranayama? Just controlling the breathing, right? By doing that, the effect is one will be able to purify the doshas within the body, right? Any imbalances, physiological imbalances, Prabhupada writes. Then second, by performing dharana, means by fixing one's mind on one object, here the Lord's form, one will destroy one's sins. Third, pratyahara. By doing pratyahara, one will be freed from material association of sense objects. Means, you are focusing on various individual limbs of the Lord. And because of going so much into detail about one object only, your inclination to see the details of all so many hundreds of other objects will be gone. All senses are withdrawn. And you are very focusedly looking at something in very detail. Getting right? So it's like focusing on one object and focusing on the details of one object. Like this. So there will be more focus. Right? More concentration there. Means more concentration here means less concentration there. So withdrawing all senses. Senses are focused in one thing only. Then dhyana means by doing all this, one will be freed from modes. Your focus on so many other sense objects is gone. One will be freed from modes and uncontrollable qualities. That is the effect. Then 12th verse. 11th, Prabhupada writes, Bhakti Yoga and others have their ultimate goal as Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only deliverance and one is practical, others are difficult. The only difference, So there are different processes of Bhakti Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, then what else? Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, all these are there. So all these transcendental processes can have the Supreme Lord as their goal. But the difference between all these transcendental processes is it is easy for the practitioner to attain the Supreme Lord through Bhakti Yoga than other processes. By Jnana process also one can attain the Lord. But it is very difficult. And what aspect of the Lord they will attain, that is also different. Getting right? So, by following this Ashtanga Yoga, we are focusing on Paramatma, which is a partial representation of Bhagavan. And by following Jnana Marga, we are focusing on impersonal Brahman, which is the effulgence of the Lord. By doing Bhakti Yoga, again, you are focusing on that same Lord, the personality of Godhead. So, all these three aspects are aspects of one person only. Is it not? I'll show you one PPT. So, it comes in the third canto, 32nd chapter. Now, next Wednesday you will learn it. So, third canto, 32nd chapter. Recently I was making this for Gauram Prabhu's presentation there. There, one section comes where you say that by all following any process, you will attain the same Lord. You follow any process, but you will attain the same Lord only. So here, this Krishna only, and his three features are Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman. By following Dhyana process, you are attaining Brahman. By following yoga process, Ashtanga Yoga process, you will realize Paramatma. By following devotional service, you will realize Bhagavan. But these two are partial representations of this one personality. This is a full representation. So the difference is there in the process, difference is there in the result. Karma, this Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga, there is a difference in the process. One process is very easy, Bhakti Yoga. Hearing, chanting, taking prasadam, and then worshipping deity and all these are there. That is an easy process. Ravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Adan, that's one. Then, but Jnana process, Klesho Dhikatarastesham Avyakta Asakta Chetasam Avyakta Hi Gatir Dukham Dehavadbhir Avapyate. Klesha Adhikatarastesham. Jnana Marga requires lot of difficulties in practice. And Ashtanga Yoga, that is even more difficult. So Ashtanga Yoga, you have seen Dhyana, Asana, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama. Following all this is very difficult. Now we said about sitting straight. My God, how long we will sit straight? After 5 minutes, like this. So many sitting postures are there. You have to go in a secluded place. You have to perform so much of meditation. So there are a lot of difficulties there. So Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport that the process itself is difficult. And after following that difficult process, what you will attain is very meager. Brahman. I mean, itna mehnat karke, you are not getting Bhagavan. You are getting only his effulgence. And Ashtanga Yogi, he does so much of tapasya, and he will realize only partial representation of the Lord within the heart as Paramatma. He doesn't get Bhagavan. So this is easy process and best result. Better deal, right? Someone who knows business, he will go for this option. Pura paisa vasul. Why is it so? Why is it not so? No, you tell me, na? Why did you get that doubt? No, not necessary. That is the proof. This is the proof. You put more endeavor, you will get better fruit. Not necessary. That depends on where you are putting endeavor. See, train journey is more difficult. You are putting more time, investing more time. Will you get better comfort in the journey? Will you reach faster in the destination? Then flight journey, you are putting less effort.
Costly.
Costly means you need to have sufficient sukriti to enter that process. Once you enter the process is easy. Once you have 4,000 or 5,000 in your pocket, not 400 or 500, then you can board train, not the flight, not the train. And you can reach faster and journey also will be easier. Similarly, you should have sufficient fortune and sukriti to enter this devotional service. Not everybody can enter a devotional service. It's a confidential marga. You should have a Mahaprabhu's mercy. We all got that somehow. right? Some people, although they stay very close to the temple, they can't follow this. They stay in Sridharangam, right? Within the seven walls of Lord Ranganath's temple complex, and they do whatever, smoke cigarette and then do all kinds of things, drink tea or drink wine, and they practice other religions, right? So by being closer also one can be unfortunate and we won't be able to take advantage of the process. Sukriti.
Okay.
Contact with the words. Hearing is not yet done.
Can we understand that it is the actual process and others are not actually the...
Yeah, that is the fact. Because Bhakti Yoga, you will find Bhakti Yogis in the spiritual world. You will find Ashtanga Yogi, who is that? Jnana Yogi, all these people are there in the material world only. These processes are there in the material world only. There is an eternal process. See, there are two ways. One, a byproduct of this Ashtanga Yogis, Paramatma meditators, that is, if they get attached to the form of the Lord, they can become devotees. Then the path is clear. If they retract their attachment or attraction to the form of the Lord and focus on liberation, they will get impersonal liberation. Two paths. Next, 12th. Yes, Prabhu. How do they get the liberation? Jnanis. Huh? I never explored. We'll have to explore. I can't comment on it. Prem Gauranga, any thoughts?
Nothing specific. At least I have come across, but it's mainly the mixture of bhakti and ashtanga with jnana always. Same.
Yesterday we discussed that bhakti mishra jnana is there. Primary is jnana, secondary is ashtanga yoga and bhakti. That is the process. Prabhupada also didn't allow much to go into detail of what jnana margas do. People who are on jnana marga do. Bhakti mishra jnana. That is, they are jnanis. No, their pure jnana is not there. It's a mixture of other processes. That's what is the discussion. Yes, Prabhu.
Finding for the absolute truth, but then until and unless they come to the conclusion, they are changing their
Vasudeva Sarvamiti.
Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So they have to come to that conclusion. So that can be understood that jnanis, they try to speculate, they take so much of knowledge, then they may try to understand, because jnana mishra, this bhakti mishra jnana also, it requires hearing about Lord, even part of Ashtanga Yoga also, like that. So everything is there. So they have to come to the point, till that point they have to go ahead and ahead and ahead. Like that. So the ultimate aim is Lord only, like that. We can understand for
jnanis. Ultimately, they are reaching the Lord only. So which aspect of the Lord they are reaching, that is different, right? Depending on their.
Five main elements. And this, and then he explains what is the focus of each of these practices. So depending upon what the focus is, he is classified as Jnana Yogi or Dhyana Yogi or Karma Yogi or Bhakti Yogi, like that. But in Bhakti Yoga, all the elements are there with focus on Bhakti. So basically like meditation, work, devotional
knowledge.
Service. Like these five elements he classifies. And then depending on what the focus is of the practitioner, he's classified as Bhakti Yogi, Jnana Yogi, Dhyana Yogi or Karma Yogi. Like that.
Hmm.
Second is that he'll go to impersonal Brahman. Then the question of like this attached and detached yogi, which we saw the earlier part. So this also comes into this only, or they are separate?
So their attached and detached yogi are mentioned according to Virat Roop meditator and Paramatma meditator. So this is focusing on the form where this Paramatma meditator and Bhakti Yogi. Here are two other, it's like bifurcating into two parts.
They are separate then.
Yeah. I mean, the correlation between these two of second canto, first chapter and this, I think we can explore more. But there it is Virat Roop meditator, attached and detached yogis are Virat Roop meditator and Paramatma meditator. But here, Paramatma meditator only, within Paramatma meditator there are two bifurcations. Right? After meditating on Paramatma, yeah, I think correlation, it's quite clear. After meditating on Paramatma, he will get liberation. That's what is mentioned in the first chapter, second canto, second chapter, I think. Okay, after meditating on Paramatma, he will get liberation. Impersonal liberation if he is retracting his attraction to the Lord form. But he will become a bhakti yogi if he gets attached to the Lord form. That will come in the last part of this chapter.
He thinks, oh, this Paramatma is me. Okay. So that is how it is impersonalist aspect.
Oh, like that. Okay. Now, 12th verse. 12th verse we read. Yada manasvam virajam yoge anasusamahitam kashtam bhagavato dhyayet svanasagra avalokana.
When the mind is perfectly purified by this practice of yoga, one should concentrate on the tip of the nose with half-closed eyes and see the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Half-closed eyes, focus on the nose. Like that. Next, 13th verse onwards, we will see the description of the super soul. 13 to 18. So meditation on the Lord's form, which is the third anga of this nine-limbed bhakti process, is the seventh anga of the Ashtanga Yoga. Getting right? So what is seventh anga? Dhyana of Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga, what is the seventh anga? Dhyana. So that meditation on the form of the Lord. That will come in smaranam. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. That is the third anga of bhakti process. What bhakti yogis do in the third stage, Ashtanga yogis do in the last but one stage. Then Chakravarti gives one insight. So now, taking this opportunity, Kapila describes the Lord's form used by both devotees and yogis for meditation. Now we will use this as devotees' meditation. Okay? Not yogis' meditation. Where are we? 13th. Prasannavadanam bhojam padmagarbharunekshanam Nilotmaladalashyamam Shankachakra Gadadharam.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead has a cheerful, lotus-like countenance with ruddy eyes like the interior of lotus and a swarthy body like the petals of the blue lotus. He bears a conch, disc and mace in three of his hands.
So this is the description of the Lord's form for performing dharana. Prasanna vadanam bhojam. Prasanna, very peaceful, cheerful, right? Not morose, like this. Very pleasing smile he has, pleasing face he has. Lotus-like countenance. Vadana ambhojam. Next, Padma Garbha Arunekshanam. Padma Garbha Anurekshanam means the interior of the lotus is reddish. So he is like that, right? Then Neelotpala Dalashyamam. His body is like petals of blue lotus. Neela Utpala Dalashyamam. Dala is petal. Shankha Chakra Gadadharam. This is about the Vishnu's form, four-handed form of the Lord. So there are Shankha Chakra Gada and Padma in there in his hands. So Prabhupada writes, one can't concentrate mind on anything void or impersonal. So meditation has to be on some form of the Lord, like this. One has to meditate. So one should be fixing his mind on a personal form of the Lord. And the authoritative descriptions of Lord's personal forms are given in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, several places, Brahma Samhita. So many are there. So, and this color of the Lord, here Neelotpala Dalashyamam Neela. Whenever a painting is done, we see we paint Krishna as blue, Vishnu as blue. So it's not imagined color. Right? So now when somebody is making a movie or taking a TV serial, some Rakshasa are there. They will put any kind of color on the Rakshasa. They put any kind of tilak. Now, some tilaks are there. You see in some movies, some tilak is like this. Here. Here, all the Vaishnava tilak. Right? Or here, this tilak is there. Balajika, 3. And here all you see all the Vibhuti marks. And which tilak they have to wear also, they don't know. They're all imagined decoration. Whoever is the, what is that called? Makeup artist. Right? Makeup fellow, whatever he thinks, concocts in his mind, he'll just put. Right? So sannyasi. Some people will put red cloths. Some people will put all kinds of cloths. Right? He's called a sannyasi there. So he's supposed to wear saffron. So that also people are not getting clear. Right? So, but color of the Lord is actually mentioned in the scriptures. Neela utpala dalashyamam. Neela. So it's not imagined by an artist. It is described in authoritative scriptures. So that is the 13th verse. 14th verse. Lasat pankaja kinjalka pita kausheya vasasam srivatsavaksha sambhrajat kaustubhamukta kandharam. Lasat pankaja kinjalka pita kausheya vasasam. So pita kausheya vasasam means his cloth, his dhoti, is yellowish, right? His loins are covered with a shining cloth, yellowish like lotus filaments. Lasat pankaja kinjalka. Pankaja is lotus. Kinjalka is that they are like filaments. So lasat means resplendent, that there is shining yellow in the filaments of the lotus. So Lord's cloth is like that, yellowish cloth. Next, Srivatsa Vakshasam Bhrajat. And he wears a Srivatsa mark on his chest. Then Kaustubha Mukta Kandharam. Kandhara means his neck. He is wearing a Kaustubha Mani, Kaustubha jewel. Right? It's hanging there. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, Lord is full in all six opulences. Right? He has full wealth, so he can wear valuable jewels. Kaustubha jewel he can wear. This Kaustubha jewel is not worn by anyone and everyone. Valuable jewels he can wear. Not visible in the material world only. You can't go to jewelry market and get a Kaustubha jewel. Next, 15th verse. Mattadvirefa kalayam paritam vanamalayam parardhya haravalayam kiritangadanupuram. Mattadvirefa kalayam paritam vanamalaya. Lord wears vanamala, a garland of forest flowers, right? Not nursery grown flowers or Dadar market flowers. So Lord wears forest flowers, fresh flowers, organic flowers, not grown because of some fertilizers and other injections. So matta dvirefa kalaya, because they are so natural, fragrant, honey laden flowers, intoxicated bees will always surround those flowers in the garland of the Lord, right? Sometimes it happens here also. Balram Shikti Prabhu grows our flowers, especially during winter. You can see Vrindavan where he wears all kinds of colorful garlands. Many times you see sometimes bees also are there, right? They are coming around that. So matta dvirefa kalaya paritam vanamalaya. All these humming bees are surrounding the garland of Krishna. Parardhya hara valaya. And he wears a priceless pearl necklace and bracelets. Kiritam, kirita angada nupuram, crown, armlets and anklets. Kirita, mukut also he wears. Right? We put pagadi, but this is Vishnu, na? Super soul. I just keep Vrindavan Vihari there, but it is description of super soul. right? Kirita, Kirita and Angada Nupuram. Angada means what is adorning one's arms. Nupuram means anklets. He wears all this. Kanchi gunola satshronim. Hridayam bhoja vishtaram. Darshaniyatamam shantam. Mano nayana vardhanam. Here, in the previous purport about the garland of forest flowers and matta dvireya fakalaya, there Prabhupada makes a comment that on the garland of a person, there are flowers which are already plucked from the trees, the plants. When a flower is there on the plant, a bee can go there and take the honey. But when it is already plucked, how long will the honey of the bee, honey of the flower will stay? It's already gone. And still, even if it is there, bee is there for a while. And after that, a plucked flower, bee cannot attract bees so much. But in the spiritual world, bees are constantly surrounding the garland of the Lord. You see this Padapadma, this, you saw? Above, around this garland, there are bees surrounding. This is actually description, this is one verse in third canto, in this chapter, current chapter, 3.28. So, on a plucked flower also, there are bees in the spiritual world. That shows that everything is fresh in spiritual world. Whether that flower is there on the plant or it's already plucked, it's a part of the garland and he's wearing that garland for a long time also, flower is fresh. It's honey laden. It's constantly emanating fragrance. It never fades. Bees constantly surround those flowers. Right? So even flowers plucked from the trees remain fresh. That is Vaikuntha. So Vaikuntha means there is nothing but freshness. Only freshness is there. So everything in the spiritual world retains its originality and doesn't degrade. There is no dwindling. There is no fading of flower. Still, lot of plucking of flowers is going on, growing of flowers is going on, making garlands is also going on. That is the beauty there. Now, once you put garland, you need not change it. It's bliss. No need of backup. No need of garland makers. No need of forest, you know. No need of our growing flowers also. Right, we need not have a separate department there. But there, devotees are attracted to serving the Lord so much that they don't bother to serve the Lord, although there is no need to serve. Here, garland is already fresh. Still, they make garlands and offer to the Lord out of their love. The floors of Vaikuntha are already clean, but still, Lakshmi takes jhadu and then constantly cleans. Sri Rupini Kanayati Charanaravindam Vajrankushat Dhaja Saroruha. No. Sri Rupini Kanayati Charanaravindam Leelambujena Hari Sadmani Mukta Dosha. Sammarjati Vaspatika Kudya Upeta Hemni Samlalite Yadanugrahanena Yatanaha. Like that it comes. 3.15. You remember? Description of spiritual world by Brahma. So she is constantly doing jhadu, brooming of the crystal clear floors of Vaikuntha, just to get a compassionate, affectionate glance from the Lord. Yad anugrahaneena yatnaha. She is looking for mercy. So that is the significance of spirituality. Everything is there, is eternal and inexhaustible. Prabhupada says, 1 minus 1 is 1. 1 plus 1 is 1. That happens only in Vaikuntha, not here. Here 1 minus 1 is 0, 1 plus 1 is 2. But there, these equations don't work. Transcendental equations only will work. So Lord's jewels are also spiritual, not material. You can't calculate the value. So now 16th verse. Kanchi gunolasat shronim. So his loins and hips are encircled by a girdle. Hridayam boruha vishtaram. He stands on the lotus of the heart of a devotee. Hridaya amboruha vishtaram. Where does he manifest? This is about Paramatma, right? So Lord stands on the beautiful heart of a devotee. Where does it come? Where else does it come? Third canto me. Ganganath Chaitanya Prabhu. Where else? Lord sits in the heart. Yetu tvadiya charanambuja kosha gandham jigranti karna vivarai shruti vatanitam Bhaktya grihita charana parayachatesham napaiti natha hridayam buruhat svapumsam. Napaiti natha hridayam buruhat svapumsam. Correct. One more verse. So one who hears Krishna katha through his ears, yetu tvadiya charanambuja kosha gandham. One who smells the fragrance of the lotus feet of Krishna through his ears, for such a person, Lord stays in his heart. Anyone else? Any other verse? Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrut saroja asse. Very good. Asse srutekshita patho nanunata pumsam. Srutekshita. If one sees the Lord through his ears, srutekshita, then also Lord will come and sits in the heart of a devotee. You have to see through ears, you have to smell through ears, then Lord will come and sit. Any other verse? Dear Lord is sitting in the heart of a devotee. Okay, you figure out. Next. Wherever. Pravishta karna randhrena svanam bhava saroruham dhunoti samalam krishna salilasya yathasirat. And here Krishna, in the form of Bhagavatam sound vibration, enters into the ear holes and stays there. That is, you hear through ears, smell through ears, see through ears, saboga. So, Lord sits in the heart. You can confirm if that verse is about sitting in the heart. No? Okay. So, three verses hoga. Now, fourth verse. Hridayam boja vishtaram. So, he is manifested in the heart of, lotus heart of a devotee. Then, darshaniya tamam shantam. Darshaniya means that which is worth seeing. Darshaniya means it's worth taking darshan of that object. Darshaniya tamam. So there is darshaniya, darshaniya tara, darshaniya tama. Means first level is it's worth seeing it. Darshaniya tara means it is very much worth seeing it. Darshaniya tama means it's most worthy object to be seen. There is nothing beyond this. Darshaniya tama means the highest, topmost seeable object is this only, Lord's form. Darshaniya tamam shantam, very charming and peaceful form, most charming and serene. Mano nayana vardhanam, if you see the form of the Lord, vardhanam means it gladdens, it causes pleasure, it's very pleasant to what? Mano and nayana, it's pleasing to the eyes, it's pleasing to the mind also. If one sees the form of the Lord, it is very pleasing to the eyes and very pleasing to the mind. So that is the 16th verse. So Lord is so beautiful that yogi doesn't want to leave that form and see something else. Because darshaniya tamam, the topmost beautiful object is directly standing in front of him. And if his eyes have some taste to see some beauty, all the taste is completely satisfied by this form only. Why he has to go to some other form? Right? He doesn't have to see anything substandard. His desire to see beautiful objects is completely satisfied by the sight of the Lord. Complete. Sarva saundarya sangraham charvayata chaturbahu sujata ruchirananam sanidha pravrut ghanashyamam sarva saundarya sangraham. So Lord's beauty is the collection of all beauties in the spiritual world and in the material world. There's a lot of beauty in the material world. Just by seeing one beautiful object, one feels so happy. You go to a very scenic place and see, it's so happy. One is so happy. You see a beautiful person, one will feel so happy. If you see some beautiful object or flower, a lot of happiness is there. So one gets a lot of happiness in seeing different material objects in this world. Now you combine the effect of all that happiness, experiences of happiness together, right? It becomes so much that you have the experience of, or the happiness of seeing a beautiful flower, happiness of seeing a beautiful mountain, happiness of seeing a beautiful place, happiness of seeing a beautiful person, all that you combine, right? There are thousands of beautiful places and beautiful persons in this material world. You combine all that. Like that, there are beautiful things in spiritual world also. You combine all that. You combine all of them, and all of them are present in the Supreme Lord. He is the collection of all beauties. Sarva saundarya sangraham. So, one is completely satisfied. Then all senses are satisfied. Apichya darshanam shashvat sarvaloka namaskritam santam vayasi kaishore bhrityanugraha kataram apichya darshanam shashvat. Right? He is eternally beautiful. How long he is beautiful? Eternally. He is beautiful only in his childhood state or youthhood state or when he is recently married or just before marriage. Not like that. He is eternally beautiful. Eternally Krishna's age doesn't grow. So the first 5 years of one's age is called Balya. Next 5 years is Pauganda. 5 to 10. Then 10 to 15 is Kaumara. Beyond 15 is Yavana. These are the four stages of one's life. And beyond Yavana, there is old age. I am not saying all that. So, in 3 years, 4 months, Krishna completes his Balya stage. He doesn't need 5 years. He doesn't need 5 years to be in Balya stage. He needs 3 years, 4 months only. And by the time he reaches 6 years, 4 months, 6 years, 8 months, he will finish Pauganda stage. He doesn't have to wait till 10th year. And in next 3 years, 4 months, means 10 years, somewhere, in 10 years or 11 years, he will complete his Kaumara stage. So beyond 11, Krishna is Kaishora, a Yavana. So an ordinary person will take 15 years to come to Yavana. Krishna will come to Yavana in 11 years only. And after that, Krishna doesn't grow. Beyond Yavana, people will have their old age and then their beauty starts dwindling and all that. All that will not happen to Krishna. His growth is fast and after attaining certain youthful body, he doesn't grow anymore. Even on the battlefield when he is 125 years old also, still he looks like a 16-year-old boy only, young boy. So, apichya darshanam shashvat, he is eternally very beautiful. His beauty doesn't fade as per time. So he is beyond this material realm. Then sarvaloka namaskritam. So sarvaloka namaskritam means all the inhabitants of the world will come and offer obeisances to this person. Not a person will be respected in his community. For example, somebody may be a great person in his office. But if he enters a local train, enters into Virar, will the other people, for example, he is traveling from Grant Road to Virar and he is standing just about to get down in Virar. He just stood up at Nalasopara and was standing there. Will the people entering in Nalasopara station will give him any value? They may even break his, you don't know this, I think. Bombay people may know. They will just enter like a mob inside, right? Your limbs may break, your laptop may break, your phone may be stolen, whatever. People are in a mindless race to enter the train while the train is moving only and then sit in their seats. So, when you may have a lot of influence at one place, but you go to another place, your influence is useless. Here you may command, 10 people or 100 people. But once you go on the street, you are no one. But Krishna is not like that. He is sarva loka namaskritam. Entire creation with all the planetary systems along with their rulers and residents can come and offer obeisances to Krishna. If he doesn't offer obeisances, he is called a conditioned soul, mad fellow, ignorant person. Yesterday we have seen his description. And we will see that description more from 30, 31, 32 chapters also. Any sane person would offer obeisances to Krishna. Bhavayanastvam bhava visvabhavana tvameva mathata suhrut patih pita. He is everything to a person. Suhrut, well-wisher, pati, husband, pita. Pita is what? Father. Then suhrut patih pita tvam sadgurunnaha paramamcha daivatam yasya anuvrittya kritino bhavuvima. You are the worshipable guru, worshipable deity. So everybody offer respects to Krishna in every capacity. From any angle he has to offer respects to Krishna. Before that, what is the verse? నతాస్మతేనాథ సదాంఘ్రి పంకజం విరించ వైరించ సురేంద్ర వందితం. విరించ మీన్స్ బ్రహ్మ, వైరించ సన్స్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ, సురేంద్ర కింగ్ ఆఫ్ హెవెన్లీ ప్లానెట్స్, ఇంద్ర వందితం, ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ కమాండ్ ఆఫర్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ టు కృష్ణ. సో హీ సర్వలోక నమస్కృతం. అండ్ హియర్ దిస్ ఇస్ ద డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ విష్ణు సూపర్ సోల్. హీఈస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఎ సర్వలోక నమస్కృతం. వెన్ యూ డిస్క్రైబ్ కృష్ణ, ది విష్ణుమూర్తిస్ ఆల్సో విల్ కమాండ్ ఆఫర్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ టు కృష్ణ. ఆల్ ది ఎక్స్పాన్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ విల్ కమాండ్ ఆఫర్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ టు కృష్ణ. దే ఆర్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ కృష్ణ. కృష్ణ ఈస్ దేర్ సోర్స్. సో దట్ ఈస్ సెకండ్ లైన్. సంతం వయసి కైశోరే, వి జస్ట్ ఎలాబరేటెడ్ ఆన్ దిస్. హీ సిచ్యురేటెడ్ ఇన్ యూత్ అండ్ బాయ్హుడ్. సంతం వయసి కైశోరే, ఆల్వేస్ కైశోర లీల, ఇట్ డజన్ గోయింగ్ టు ఓల్డ్ ఏజ్. వృద్ధ లీల ఈజ్ నాట్ దేర్. వయసి కైశోరే సంతం ఆల్వేస్. దెన్ భృత్యానుగ్రహ కాతరం, భృత్య అనుగ్రహ కాతరం. హీఈస్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ మెర్సిఫుల్ టువార్డ్స్ హిస్ డివోటీస్. హీ బెస్టోస్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ అపాన్ ఎ డివోటీ. అనదర్ వెర్స్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ ద ఫోర్త్ క్యాంటో. తరుణం రమణీయాంగం అరుణోష్ఠీక్షణాధరం ప్రణతాశ్రయణం రమణం శరణ్యం కరుణారణవం. తరుణం రమణీయాంగం, తరుణం మీన్స్ హీస్ వెరీ యూత్ఫుల్. రమణీయాంగం మీన్స్ ఆల్ హీస్ బాడీలీ లిమ్స్ ఆర్ పెర్ఫెక్ట్లీ ఫార్మ్డ్. రైట్, సమ్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ దేర్ దేర్ హ్యాండ్స్ ఆర్ షార్ట్స్, దేర్ బెల్లీ మే బి కమింగ్ అవుట్ అండ్ సో మెనీ డిఫరెంట్ లిమ్స్ ఆఫ్ వన్స్ బాడీ మే నాట్ బి పెర్ఫెక్ట్లీ ఫార్మ్డ్. దట్ కుడ్ బి ఆఫ్ డిఫరెంట్ షేప్స్ అండ్ సైజెస్ అండ్ ఫార్మ్స్ కాంప్లెక్షన్స్ ఎక్సెట్రా. బట్ కృష్ణస్ ఎవ్రీ లింబ్ ఇస్ పెర్ఫెక్ట్లీ ఫార్మ్డ్. సో తరుణం రమణీయాంగం అరుణోష్ఠీక్షణాధరం. సో హీస్ ఐస్ ఆర్ వెరీ రెడిష్. అండ్ ప్రణత ఆశ్రయణం రుమ్ణం మీన్స్ హీ ఈస్ ద ఓన్లీ పర్సన్ హూ ఈస్ వర్దీ ఆఫ్ గివింగ్ షెల్టర్ టు ఎనీవన్. శరణ్యం దెన్ కరుణారణం, హీఈస్ ఎన్ ఓషన్ ఆఫ్ మెర్సీ. సో దట్ వెర్స్ ఈస్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ మ్యాచింగ్ విత్ దీస్ వెర్సెస్. దట్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ ద ఫోర్త్ క్యాంటో వెన్ నారద ముని డిస్క్రైబ్స్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ టు ధ్రువ మహారాజ్. నౌ 18th వెర్స్. నౌ బిఫోర్ దట్ ప్రోపోజ్ పర్పోర్ట్. సో లార్డ్ ఈస్ వర్షిపబుల్ బై ఆల్ బట్ ద ఇంపర్సనలిస్ట్స్. ఇంపర్సనలిస్ట్ మీన్స్ దే డోంట్ బిలీవ్ గాడ్ ఈజ్ ఎ పర్సన్. అండ్ ఇఫ్ దే డోంట్ బిలీవ్ దట్ గాడ్ ఈజ్ ఎ పర్సన్, హౌ కెన్ దే బిలీవ్ దట్ దిస్ పర్సన్ హ్యాస్ ఎ ఫార్మ్? సో ఎక్సెప్ట్ ఇంపర్సనలిస్ట్స్ హూ డోంట్ బిలీవ్ దట్ లార్డ్ హ్యాస్ ఎ ఫార్మ్, ఎవ్రీవన్ ఎల్స్ హ్యావ్ రిగార్డ్ టు ఫార్మ్. సో వన్ డే ఐ వాజ్ షోయింగ్ దిస్ స్కూల్ ట్రిప్స్. స్కూల్ ట్రిప్స్ మీన్స్ స్మాల్ చిల్డ్రన్ విల్ కమ్ హియర్ ఫర్ ఇట్ లైక్ ఫైవ్ ఇయర్స్ బ్యాక్ ఐ థింక్. So many school children will come and we give a presentation about GEV. So I spoke for 45 minutes, 1 hour about different activities of GEV. So many, some whatever, more than 100 school children were sitting. 4th standard, 5th standard, 6th standard, 7th standard, like that. So I finished the presentation and closed the PPT file. And everyone, so far they were hearing nicely. So suddenly they got excited. And no, stop, stop, don't close. Don't close, they were saying. So I finished the PowerPoint. Maybe I thought they want the PowerPoint. I'm closing and they don't want it. Then they started taking out their mobiles. Right, little older kids. They started clicking photos. Because Madhav's photo was there on my desktop. So when I closed down the PowerPoint file, my wallpaper is seen. Radha Madhav. Right, they got attracted to that form and they started clicking photos. So that attraction towards Krishna's form is there in a child also. Right? They are all innocent children. They don't know about all these processes, but they got attracted to the form of the Lord. So Prabhupada says, Krishna's form is actually worshipable and attractive to everyone, except the impersonalists, except a so hard-hearted fellow, no one can stay away from Lord's form, right, without getting attracted to it. So Prabhupada writes, Shashwat means ever-existing. Advaitam achyutam anadi mananta rupam. Then just as devotees are always eager to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord is eager to bestow benedictions upon the devotee. That is, bhrutya anugraha kataram. Devotees are eager to render service. Lord is eager to give blessings. Bhrutya anugraha. Next, 18th verse. Kirtanya tirtha yashasam. పుణ్యశ్లోక యశస్కరం ధ్యాయేద్దేవం సమగ్రాంగం యావన్నచ్యవతే మనః. The glory Kirtanya is Tirtha Yashasham. We'll go line by line. So it is worth singing the glories of the Lord. Tirtha Yashasham. Yashasham means Lord's glories. Kirtanya, see, Darshaniya. Darshaniya means that which is worth seeing. Kirtaniya means that which is worth singing. This is Kirtanya Tirtha Yashasham. Lord's Yashasham is compared to Tirtha. Right? Tirtha is what? Glory. What is it called? Tirtha is holy place of pilgrimage. So it is said that Lord's glories are more glorious than the holy places of pilgrimage also. When someone goes to a holy place, what will he do? He will take a holy bath and he will be purified of his sinful contamination. Right? That is what holy places are known for. But Lord's glories are holier than these holy places. Because when one takes a holy bath in a holy place or a holy river, his sins are gone, sins are vanquished. But the sinful propensity is not gone. But if someone takes bath in the nectarian glories of the Lord, his tendency to commit sin also will be gone. It is a more holier place. That's why every day going to a holy place, holy dham is not recommended. Regularly hearing Bhagavatam, Lord's glories is recommended. Because it purifies the sinful contamination. That's why Lord's glories are often compared to holy places. Where else does it come? Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. Okay, knock that. Next. Lord's glories are holy places. Third canto. Kastrupnaya tirthapado abhidana satre shiva suri bhiridyamanat purushasayato bhava pradam. No, wrong verse. Wrong number. Next. Yes, Praveen Prabhu. You get 50 out of 50 every day. Anyone else? Lord's glories are holy places of pilgrimage. Yeah, it must be there in Ratnamala. Yes. Anyone else there? Tirthapada. That is Lord's feet are holy places. Mukhapadma Nida. No. Third canto. Vidura says. Tathapi kirtayam yanga. No. Kirtaya tirtha kirte. How does it begin? What is saying? How does it begin? The verse. Tadasya kausharava sharmadatur hare katham eva kathasusaram udhrutya pushpebhya eva artabandho shivayanah kirtaya tirtha kirte. Kirtaya tirtha kirte. Lord's kirtis, glories, are tirtha, holy places of pilgrimage. Kirtaya, you start glorifying them. You glorify the glories of the Lord which are like glorious holy places. So same thing is coming. So whenever we are reading some things, we can try to collect other shastric references also. Okay, Kirtanya Tirtha Yashasam. Punya Shloka Yashaskaram. Another beautiful point. Punya Shloka Yashaskaram. So Lord will enhance the glories of devotees. Lord will make the devotees more glorious. Where else does it come? Should I give the reference? Or you want to try? To save time. 1.8. Kunti Maharani gives lot of reasons for Krishna's descent. So one reason is to glorify the pious kings. It's not a memorization verse, but one concept is there. Lord descends to glorify the pious kings also. Okay, his glories enhance the glories of devotees. So Lord also tries to enhance the glories of devotees. Punya Sloka Yashaskaram. So next. ధ్యాయేన్ దేవం సమగ్రాంగం యావన్న చవతే మనః. సో ధ్యాయేన్ దేవం సమగ్రాంగం, వన్ షుడ్ మెడిటేట్ అపాన్ ఆల్ ది లింబ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ అంటిల్ ది మెడిటేషన్ బికమ్స్ ఫిక్స్డ్. సి మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ ఆల్ ది లింబ్స్ సమగ్రాంగం. సమగ్ర మీన్స్ పూరా సారా. సమగ్రాంగం యావన్న చవతే మనః, దెన్ మైండ్ బికమ్స్ ఫిక్స్డ్. ఓకే, ప్రపద్ రైట్స్ ఇన్ ద పర్పోర్ట్, వెన్ వన్ ఈజ్ అకస్టమ్డ్ టు థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఇన్ఫినిట్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ కృష్ణ వరాహ నరసింహ రామ ఎక్సెట్రా, హీ రీచెస్ ది పర్ఫెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ యోగా. సో సేమ్ పర్పస్ ఈజ్ సర్వ్డ్ వెన్ వన్ వర్షిప్స్ ద డీటీ ఇన్ ద టెంపుల్. నౌ సీ దిస్, ప్రపద్ మేక్స్ ఎ వండర్ఫుల్ పాయింట్. సో ఫార్ దేర్ ఇస్ ఎ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది మెడిటేషన్ ఆన్ ది లార్డ్స్ ఫార్మ్, దట్ ఈస్ స్మరణం. సో వీ కాంట్ డూ ది స్మరణం యాజ్ ఈజీలీ యాజ్ ద రెసిడెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్రీవియస్ యుగ సత్యయుగ మేడు. దే కెన్ సిట్ జస్ట్ ఫర్ సమ్ 60,000 ఇయర్స్ అండ్ దెన్ మెడిటేట్, మేబీ 10,000 ఇయర్స్ అండ్ దే కెన్ మెడిటేట్. గెటింగ్ రైట్? 3 అవర్స్ బయటనే ఇతనా తక్లీఫ్ అవుతాయి, 10,000 ఇయర్స్ ఆస్టెరిటీస్ మెడిటేషన్ ఆన్ ద ఫార్మ్, దెన్ 60,000 ఇయర్స్ మెడిటేషన్, దట్స్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్. సో ది స్మరణం మెడిటేషన్ ఈజ్ యాక్చువల్లీ నాట్ మెంట్ ఫర్ కలియుగ పీపుల్. ఓకే, ఫర్ అ స్మరణం మీన్స్ అర్చనం. ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు సిట్ ఫర్ 25 మినిట్స్ ఇన్ ఫ్రంట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆల్టర్ అండ్ స్టార్ట్ మెడిటేటింగ్ ఆర్ క్లోజ్ ద ఐస్ హియర్ ఎస్పెషల్లీ దిస్ ఇస్ యోగి ప్రాసెస్ నా. సో క్లోజ్ ద ఐస్ అండ్ స్టార్ట్ మెడిటేటింగ్ ఆన్ ద ఫార్మ్. ఓకే, లోటస్ ఫీట్స్ వెళ్ళే లోటస్ ఫేస్ దట్స్ మైండ్ బికమ్స్ టూ డిస్ట్రాక్టెడ్ ఇస్ ఇట్ నాట్ ఎనీ వన్ హియర్ హూ కెన్ ఫోకస్ 25 మినిట్స్ బట్ 25 మినిట్స్ యూ డూ మంగళారతి ఆఫర్ వేరియస్ ఐటమ్స్ రైట్ ధూప్ నీచే సెలే ఉపర్ తక్ ఘుమాతే రహు రైట్ దెన్ దియా ఈ జస్ట్ ఆఫర్ టు ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ దెన్ ద వేస్ట్ అండ్ దెన్ ఫేస్ సో దేర్ ఈస్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ యాక్టివిటీ ఆఫ్ ద సెన్సెస్ హ్యాండ్ ఈస్ యాక్టింగ్ లెగ్ ఈస్ స్టాండింగ్ ఐస్ ఆర్ సీయింగ్ ఇయర్స్ ఆర్ హియరింగ్ సమ్మన్ సింగింగ్ అవుట్ సైడ్ సో బికాస్ ఆల్ సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ రెస్ట్లెస్ టు విత్డ్రా ఆల్ ది సెన్సల్ ఫంక్షన్స్ అండ్ ఫోకస్ ఆన్ ద మైండ్ అండ్ వన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ బికమ్స్ టూ డిఫికల్ట్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ డిఫికల్ట్ సో ఫర్ అస్ స్మరణం మీన్స్ అర్చనం. Clear? So archanam is better than smaranam for us. We cannot artificially think that we can meditate on the form of the Lord. Better do some deity worship. Do some backup arti vagara. Instead of sitting there and then I will meditate. Kya meditation? Satyuga, Kaliyuga, it's difficult. So Lord's form is same whether he appears within the mind or as a deity. So Lord's form can be made of different items. So what are items? There are 8 types, right? Deities can be made of 8 types. It comes somewhere in these purports only. This purport is there. 8 forms are recommended. Sand, clay, wood, stone, jewels, metal, paint, mind. So Lord's form can appear in any of these forms. So meditation means meditating, focusing on the Lord's form within the mind. But deity worship means meditating on the focusing on the Lord's form, who may appear in one of these items: sand, clay, wood, stone. Jagannath deity, wood, right? Marble deities are there. Radha Krishna deities, Gauranatha deities. Then jewels, metal. Banbihari, metal. Then Vrindavan Bihari, we have marble, right? Then paint. Go to Vrindavan forest temples. They're all paint, print. Forest paint is print. Right, like that, Lord's forms can appear in any of these material elements. They're as good as the Lord's spiritual forms only. You can meditate on them, you can worship them. Right, Vrindavan forest aarti kar sakte. Temple roof. Temple roof is paint. Our temple hall roof is paint. So, focusing on that form of the Lord which manifested through these material elements is easy than which is manifested in the mind. For us. So smaranam means, smaranam is better than archanam for us. For us, archanam is better than smaranam. For us, smaranam means archanam. Okay, this point is clear. So Prabhupada writes, devotees are punya sloka. As one is purified by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one will be purified by chanting the holy name of a devotee also. Especially in ISKCON, in our Vaishnava Sampradayas, when a devotee is initiated, he is given a spiritual name. some Lord's name, so and so Lord's name, followed by Das. Right? So, chanting the holy names of devotees also is very purifying. Mahaprabhu used to chant the names of gopis, and you don't have to imitate Mahaprabhu, but chanting the names of devotees is also very powerful. You can say Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. That is equally purifying. Okay, next. Sthitam vrajantam asinam shayanam vaguhashayam prekshaniye hitam dhyayet shuddha bhavena chetasa.
Always merge in devotional service. The yogi visualizes the Lord standing, moving, lying down, or sitting within him. For the pastimes of the Supreme Lord are always beautiful and attractive.
Sthitam vrajantam asinam shayanam va guhasayam. So Lord, one should always be merged in bhakti and then visualize the Lord standing, moving. Sthitam means sitting. Vrajantam, moving. Asinam, sitting. Sthitam is standing. So like that, in various postures, one has to meditate on the Lord. Lord is doing all these activities. That's how one has to meditate. It's difficult. So, but we can't meditate on Lord sitting and standing and all that. So by constantly seeing the paintings and Diti Darshan, that a very slight glimpse of remembrance might come. We try to remember, oh Lord is standing like this. But still one may forget. But here, this what is mentioned in the 19th verse, this dhyana, is extremely difficult for a Kali Yuga distracted mind with smartphones and iPads, etc. So, Prabhupada writes, in the previous purport, what did Prabhupada say? For us, smaranam is archanam. In this purport, Prabhupada says, smaranam means kirtanam. Right? You just glorify the Supreme Lord, that is as good as smaranam. So, Prabhupada says, the process of meditating on the Lord's form within oneself is as good as process of chanting his glories and pastimes. Both are same. You meditate on the Lord's form and you speak about the Lord. Both are same. But you can be, the difference is, you can be more focused while describing the glories of the Lord than while meditating on the form of the Lord. So now we are discussing this glorious form of the Lord today. We stop, we keep aside this mic and let us meditate. Today's class is, we'll put one photo. And put one photo on it. Close your eyes and meditate on the Lord's form. Oh yeah. We'll practically do Ashtanga Yoga. In 5 minutes, at least in 10 minutes, more than half of us will fall asleep. After 15-20 minutes, most people will fall asleep. Right? And maybe few people will get up and try to do something else. As class chutti. Chutti nahi, practical. They can't receive it as practical. They will think it is chutti only. As class kiya hai nahi. And if I do that, you can't complain also. You have to complain to me only. Na? If someone else does it, then you will immediately come and tell me. So, Prabhupada is very practically saying here, for us, smaranam is kirtanam. We can't do smaranam, better do kirtanam. Only difference is hearing is easier. As soon as one begins to think of the Lord, especially in Kali Yuga, mind becomes disturbed. You see? You try to meditate on Lord's form, some other form will manifest there. Getting right? So many other forms will manifest. So much agitation. Process of seeing the Lord within the mind is interrupted in every 2 minutes, in every 1 minute. Within 1 minute also, so many other forms may clash. Make sense? It should make perfect sense. But while hearing a class, that probability is quite less. Is it not? Comparatively. Of course, while hearing also, we may remember so many things, but it's easier to focus in hearing and speaking. So when sound vibrated, praising the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, one is forced to hear. Hearing process enters into the mind. Practice of yoga automatically is performed. What we are doing here is yoga. Ashtanga yoga me dhyanam we are doing. Because when we are hearing, that sound vibration will enter the ears and will enter the mind. And mind will be, it is easy for the mind to focus. Then you try to focus on the form. Is it not? So this is a better yoga than the other yoga. Okay, we are doing yoga in a much better way. So yoga necessitates meditation on transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So that meditation happens through discussion for us. Tasmin labdha padam chittam sarvavayava samsthitam vilaikshaikatra samyujyad ange bhagavato muni.
In fixing his mind on the eternal form of the Lord, the yogi should not take a collective view of all his limbs, but should fix the mind on each individual limb of the Lord.
Now this is dhyana. Collective view is mentioned so far. Now individual limb. Now Lord's form is like this, form is like that, that's what we have seen. But now we will see Lord's lotus feet are like this. Lord's thighs are like this. Lord's hips are like this. Lord's eyes are like this. Like that individually we will see after a break.
Hare Krishna. Tasmin labdha padam chittam sarva avayava samsthitam vilaikshaikatra samyujyat ange bhagavato muni.
So this is 20th verse where it is said that having meditated on the Lord with all limbs, one should fix his mind on individual limbs of the Lord. So those who try to meditate on Lord's form, those who render devotional service are called bhakti yogis. Those who try to meditate on just form only and be inactive, they are munis. So now 21st verse onwards, we will have more verses describing the form of the Lord beginning from his lotus feet. Sanchintaye Bhagavatas Charana Ravindam Vajrankushadhvajasaroruhalanchanadhyam Uttungarakta Vilasan Nakhachakravala Jyotsnabhirahatamahadhridayandhakaram.
The devotee should first concentrate his mind on the Lord's lotus feet, which are adorned with the mark of a thunderbolt, a gourd, a banner, a lotus. The splendor of their beautiful ruby nails resembles the orbit of moon and dispels the thick gloom of one's heart.
So sanchintayed means one has to meditate on Bhagavataha Charanaravindam, on the lotus feet of the Lord. This is clear, first line. Vajra means thunderbolt. Ankusha means that which is used to control the elephant. Vajra, Ankusha. Dhaja is flag. Saroruha is a lotus. Lanchanadyam. So like this there are so many other lanchan, so many other marks, auspicious marks on the lotus feet of the Lord. Then Uttunga Rakta Vilasan Nakhachakravala. So Nakha is nails of the Lord. Nakha Chakravala Rakta Vilasan. So the toes of the Lord emanate such wonderful effulgence. The nails of the Lord emanate such wonderful effulgence that will be like a circle of moon around the nails. Nakha Chakravala. So Jyotsna Abhir Ahata Mahadhradayandhakaram. If one goes in front of the Lord's lotus feet and looks at the Lord's lotus feet, the effulgence, moon-like effulgence emanating from the toenails of the Lord's lotus feet will dispel the thick, dark gloom of darkness which is there in our heart. Ahata Mahad Hridaya Andhakaram. Hridaya is heart, Andhakaram is darkness. That thick gloom of darkness is dispelled by the effulgence coming from the Lord's toenails. That is the effect of meditating upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay. So this is the first verse. So Prabhupada says, Mayavadis are unable to fix one's mind on the impersonal existence of the Absolute Truth. Right? They fix mind on some imagined form. So imagination is always imagination and results only in further imagination. Speculation is always speculation and results in further speculation. Stupidity is always stupidity and results in further stupidity. Right? Prabhupada says, better focus on the bona fide forms of the Lord, meditate, then the result will be glorious. If you focus on the lotus feet of the Lord, lotus feet of a devotee and see, know the descriptions of the lotus feet of the Lord as given in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and other places, then the effect of that meditation is glorious. Once darkness of ignorance will be dispelled. Otherwise, that effect will not come. That will only increase more speculation. Oh, feet may be like this, feet may be like that. Feet may have six fingers, eight fingers. Lord, na? Hamara paanch hai, Bhagavan ka paanch nahi. Che ho sakta hai. Speculation, imagination, like that. So that will lead to further imagination and speculation. So liberation is not achieved by mental speculation, by seeing the light emanating from the lustrous toenails of the Lord. Okay, 22nd verse.
Yatshaujanishritasaritpravarodakena Tirthena murnyadhikritena shivashivobhut Dhyatuh manashyamalashaila nisrishtavajram Dhyayechiram bhagavatascharanaravindam Yatshaucha nishrita sarit pravarodakena Tirthena murnyadhikritena shivashivobhut Dhyatu manashyamala shaila nisrishta vajram Dhyayechiram bhagavatascharanaravindam Yat shaucha nishrita sarit pravarodakena. This is another wonderful verse about the lotus feet only. So yat means that lotus feet of the Lord which was described in the previous verse. Shaucha nishrita means there is water that washed that lotus feet of the Lord which was described in the previous verse. After cleaning, it started flowing. That water, yat shaucha nishrita. Sarit pravara udakena, pravara udakena, that wonderful water, glorious water, has become a river. Sarit. That water which washed the glorious lotus feet of the Lord has become a river. That is Ganga. Yat shaucha nishrita sarit pravara udakena, tirthena, murdhni adhikritena shiva shiva bhut. What is the glory of that river? What is the glory of the foot wash of Lord Vishnu or Krishna? So tirthena, it is very holy. Murdhani means it has to be carried on one's head. You can't, someone washed his feet, that is like feet is the lowest part of one's body, and he, when he walks out, it becomes dirty, and when he comes in, you wash your feet, and that water, that will go into sewers only. Right, that is considered contaminated. But here, it is Supreme Lord's lotus feet. The water that washed his lotus feet becomes a holy river. It becomes so holy and it has to be accepted on one's head. Murdhani, adhikritena. And what else is the effect? Shiva, shivobhut. Shiva means auspicious. So Shiva is all Shiva is all auspicious. Shiva, shivobhut. The all auspicious Shiva becomes all the more auspicious by taking that foot wash of Lord on his head. Right? That is the meaning of the second line. Dhyatuh manah shamala shaila nisrishta vajram. So by meditating dhyatuh, by meditating on that lotus feet in one's mind, manah shamala shaila. Shaila means a mountain. Shamala shaila means mountain of contamination. Mala means contamination, unwanted thing. So all of our hearts, may not be you, but in a conditioned soul's heart, there is a mountain of sinful contamination. So mountains are known to be smashed by the thunderbolt of Indra. So shamala shaila nisrishta vajram. Just like mountains are smashed by the thunderbolt of Indra, the thunderbolt of meditation upon the lotus feet of the Lord will smash the mountain of sin in our hearts. Shamala shaila nisrishta vajram. Dhyatuh. Dhyayechiram bhagavatas charanaravindam. So let us meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time. Chiram, dhyaye chiram bhagavatas charanaravindam. This meaning is clear. So one has to, for a long time one has to meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is this verse. So Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is the Supreme Master. Master of everyone, demigods, Brahma, Shiva, everybody.
Everybody is his servant only. Bhagavatas charanaravindam. Here that Bhagavata word actually refers to Krishna or Vishnu only, no one else. So who has to meditate on whom, on whose feet? Devotees have to meditate upon Krishna's feet. And who are the subordinate people? Including demigods, you and me, everybody. Every living entity is subordinate to Krishna only. So one has to meditate on Krishna's feet. So one cannot say that Bhagavan is someone else. That has to be Krishna and Vishnu only. If someone says someone else's lotus feet also is like this. Dhyatu, mana, shamala, sayila, nisrishta, vajram will happen if I meditate on so-and-so Baba's lotus feet also. So-and-so person's lotus feet also. That will not happen. If one compares Bhagavan, Supreme Lord, with any demigod or any other human, ordinary human being, he is called a Pakhandi or Pashandi. Prabhupada writes that. Atheist. You can't keep them on the same level. So relationship between the Lord, relationship with the lotus feet of the Lord, can even enhance the importance of Shiva. What to speak of ordinary living entities? See, Shiva, Shivobhut. Shiva became all the more auspicious by taking Lord's foot wash on his head. What to speak of other living entities? If Shiva has no problem taking Lord's foot wash, what problem do ordinary living entities should have? Like that. So, there is one more verse in the fourth canto. I will show that verse, then I will recite. Yatpada pankaja palasa. Ah, you have Ratnamala, right? Open. 422, somewhere it comes. Yatpada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. Karmashayam grathita mudgrathayanti santaha. Tadvan narikta matayo yatayo piruddha. Shroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. In that verse also, yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. If one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord with bhakti, karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha. Karmashayam means our enthusiasm to perform fruitive activities, to enjoy fruitive results. Those kind of aspirations will be udgrathayanti. They will be rooted. The fruitive mentality of the conditioned soul will be rooted out. Along with its root, it will be gone away. If one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Other processes cannot do that. Only meditation and lotus feet of the Lord through bhakti yoga only can do it. Right? Tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo piruddha. Those who are devoid of devotional service, even if they endeavor, still they cannot even control their senses. What to speak of rooting out the ignorance? That is the potency of Lord's lotus feet. Yat pada pankaja palasa. Now next verse. Lotus feet hoga. We are progressing. We are going to the lotus, legs of the Lord and thighs of the Lord. Janudvayam jala jalochanaya jananyam. Lakshmyakhilasya suravanditaya vidhatu. Urvor nidhaya karapallava rochishayat. Samlalitam hriti vibhora bhavasya kuryad. Janudvayam jala jalochanaya jananya. Lakshmyakhilasya suravanditaya vidhatu. Urvor nidhaya karapallava rochishayat. Samlalitam hriti vibhora bhavasya kuryad. So now, Lord's knees, Lord's thighs and calves, they are mentioned. They are very much connected to Mother Lakshmi. She is always massaging them. Right? So, janu dvayam. So, janu means up to the knees. After lotus feet, okay? From there up to the knees. They are called janu. Janu bhyam, sahapani bhyam. Krishna uses this janu and then crawls in the wonderful pasturing grounds of Vrindavan. Right? In the muddy grounds of Vrindavan, which are made more muddy by cow urine and cow dung. So, here janu is mentioned. So, janu dvayam, two feet are there. Two legs are there, two janus are there. Jalajalochanaya. Jalajalochana means jalaja. Means that which is born out of jala. What is that? Lotus. Jalajalochanaya means the eyes of that lady, Mother Lakshmi, they are as good as lotus petals. They are beautiful like lotus petals. Jalajalochanaya jananya. She is our mother. She is the mother of Brahma, mother of creator. So, janudvayam jalajalochanaya jananya. Lakshmi, who is that? Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi akhilasya suravanditaya vidhatu. So, Lakshmi akhilasya suravanditaya. All the suras means demigods, they can offer, come and offer obeisances to both the Lord and Lakshmi also. That she can take obeisances from all the worshipable demigods also. Suravanditaya vidhatu. And she is the janani of vidhatu. So Lord Brahma has become the son of Mother Lakshmi, not because she gave birth to Brahma. Actually, who gave birth to Brahma? Vishnu gave birth to Brahma. And because Lakshmi is the wife of Vishnu, she became mother of Brahma. She did not give birth to Brahma to become mother. She became wife of the father to become mother. That's why she is Lakshmi. That's why she is mother. So, Lakshmi akhilasya suravanditaya vidhatuhu. So, everybody will come and offer obeisances to this Mother Lakshmi. Another verse comes in definitely in 1.11. All the demigods will come and offer obeisances to Krishna, that is mentioned. Natasmate natha sadangri pankajam virinja vairincha surendra vanditam. Then another verse from that Suprabhatam is there. Tava suprabhatam aravindalochane. That verse. Tava suprabhatam aravindalochane. Bhavatu prasanna mukhachandra mandale. Vidishankarendra vanita bhirarchite. Vrishasailanatha dayite dayanidhe. There it comes. Vidhi Shankara Indra Vanita Abhirarchite. I didn't get the right tune. Someone can remind me. Some South Indian is there around? Because I got into these tunes, I forgot that tune. Rakshan Krishna Prabhu. Suprabhatam tune. What was that? Ending nahi, beginning chahiye. Okay, fine. We'll remember after some time. Urvar nidhaya karapallava rochishayat. I didn't mention the meaning. So, tavasu prabhata maravinda lochene bhavatu prasanna mukhachandra mandale. So, good morning, suprabhatam. That is how verse it will become, tavasu prabhatam. When it is translated into English, it becomes good morning. Not like that. Tavasu prabhatam. May there be auspicious dawn unto you, my dear mother. That is good, right? Better than good morning, right? So, tava suprabhatam aravinda lochane. Oh, lotus-eyed mother. So, we desire all auspiciousness in this dawn for you. Tava suprabhatam aravinda lochane bhavatu prasanna mukhachandra mandale. Your face is so pleasant like the moon. Bhavatu prasanna, very pleasant. Mukhachandra mandale. Vidhi shankara indra vanita abhirarchite. Vidhi means Brahma. Shankara is Shiva, Indra is king of demigods. Vanita, their vanitas, their wives. Who are they? Sachi Devi, Parvati Devi, Saraswati Devi. All of them will come and offer worship to Mother Lakshmi. Vidhi Shankarendra Vanita Abhirarchite Vrishasaila Natha Dayite Dayanidhe. You are very compassionate. So there, that verse says like that. So here, what she is doing, that goddess, supreme goddess Lakshmi, who is accepting worship from all the demigods and their wives, what she is doing here? Urvor nidhaya karapallava rochishayat samlalitam hrudi vibhor abhavasya kuryat. Now she is sitting at the lotus feet of the Lord and massaging them. Right? Urvor nidhaya. And now, see, urvor means thighs. Nidhaya, having placed, being there, Karapallava rochishayat. Karapallava. Kara means hands. Pallava means buds, right? Right? Very lustrous. Pallava rochishayat means her fingers are also very delicate and very tender, right? With and lustrous. Kara pallava rochi shayat. So with that, she is massaging the lotus feet and thighs of the Supreme Lord. That is what is her service. And she is accepting service from so many people. In 3.16 also you have seen, right? What was that verse? 3.16.6 or 7. Where the Lord says, Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra renum sadyakshata akhilamalam pratilabdha shilam nashrir viraktima pimam vijahati yasya prekshalavartha itare niyaman vahanti. You remember this verse? Memorization mein hai ye? My God, I'm speaking in Vidyapeeth or somewhere else. Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra renum. So here Supreme Lord Vishnu is speaking to four Kumaras. Because of my service to Brahmanas, what will happen? Charana padma pavitra renum. The dust from the lotus feet of the Vishnu, that has become very glorious, auspicious. Charana padma pavitra. It has become pure. Renum. Sadyah kshatakhilamalam pratilabdhashilam. That pure dust of the Lord's lotus feet will completely remove the sinful contamination of living entities. Then, na shrir viraktim apimam vijahati yasya. Shri means Lakshmi. I am not attached to Lakshmi. I am not attached to her service. Still, she will come and massage my legs. Na shrir viraktim apimam vijahati yasya preksha lavartha itare niyaman vahanti. To get a slight favor of glance from Mother Lakshmi, so many demigods are putting queue there. She has so much of fan following. Right, preksha lavartha itare niyaman vahanti. They are undergoing so many niyamas, rules and regulations. So many vratas they are doing so that they get some wealth from Mother Lakshmi. Some merciful glance from Mother Lakshmi. Although so many people are behind her, and although I am not interested in her, she is coming and serving me. So that is what Vishnu says. Here, her activities are seen. So samlalitam hridi vibhor abhavasya kuryat. So one has to meditate upon the legs and thighs of the Lord and upon the activities of Mother Lakshmi. So we are in 23rd verse, right? Janu. So one has to fix his heart on the activities of Lakshmi, who is always found massaging the Lord's legs and thighs. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that Lord has become the father of Brahma without assistance of a mother. So bhava means one who accepts the material body. Abhava means one who does not accept the material body. Abhavasya kuryat means by meditating on the legs of the Lord and activities of Lakshmi, one will come out of this bhava, material existence. He will become abhava. Right? So one against the spiritual body. That is the effect of meditating on Lord's lotus thighs and legs, etc. Now 24th verse is another interesting verse.
Uru suparna bhujayor adhi shobhamanav. Ojo nidhi atasika kusumava bhasavu. Vyalambi pita varava sasi vartamana. Kanchi kapa kanchi kalapa parirambhinitamba bimbam.
Next, the yogi should fix his mind in meditation on the personality of Godhead thighs, the storehouse of all energies. The Lord thighs are whitish blue, like the luster of the lion's flower, and appear most graceful when the Lord is carried on the shoulder of Garuda. Also, the yogi should contemplate his rounded hips, which were encircled by a girdle that rests on the executes yellow silk cloth that extends down to his ankles.
So this verse is describing the Lord's thighs and hips. First thighs. Uru suparna bhujayor adhi shobhamanav. We specifically gave this image because he said uru suparna bhujayor. Suparna means, parna is what? Wings. Suparna means very auspicious wings. Who has that? Garuda. So when the Lord is standing on Garuda's wings, sitting on Garuda's wings, Uru Suparna Bhujayor on his shoulders, Adhi Shobhamanav, they appear very beautiful. So one has to meditate on the Lord's thighs when he is sitting on Garuda's back. Okay? So this is like one wonderful BBT painting that actually shows this. This is actually 8th canto pastime. Uru Suparna Bhujayor Adhi Shobhamanav Ojo Nidhi Atasika Kusumava Bhasav. Ojo Nidhi means they are storehouse of all energy. Lord's thighs are storehouse of all energy. Then Atasika Kusuma of the linseed flower Avabhasu, like luster. What is their luster? Luster is of a linseed flower. I don't know what is linseed flower. Someone who is good at English. Okay, fine. I also searched it sometime back. Huh? Sunflower? Alsi. Alsi is linseed. It flowers. Its flower is of what color, bro? He says linseed flower. Atasika. Atasi is alsi. Okay. Atasika kusuma vabhasav. The luster is of linseed flower. Then vyalam vipita vara vasasi. So extending down. So vyalam bi means extending down. Pita vasa. Pita vara vasasi. Exquisitely beautiful yellowish cloth. Pita is yellow. So he's wearing that cloth. Yellow dhoti. Yellow dhoti is also here. A perfect image. Vyalam vipita vara vasasi vartamana. Then kanchi kalapa parirambhata parirambhi nitamba bimbam. And his rounded hips are encircled by a girdle. So that is what? Belt kind of thing. Waist belt we put sometimes. So this is the description of Lord's thighs and rounded hips. Okay. So here in this purport, Prabhupada says, Urvor nidhaya karapalla uru suparna bhujayor adhi shobhamano. So Lord's thighs are the storehouse of all energy. He is the reservoir of all strength. Just like Lord's face or form is the reservoir of all beauty, Lord's thighs are the reservoir of all strength. So basically thighs should be strong so that the entire body can rest on that when he's walking or doing some things. All the strength of our existence is also coming from Lord's thighs only, like that. Next is about meditation on Lord's navel and nipples. So, Nabhi Hradam Bhuvana Kosha Guhodarastham Yatratma Yoni Dishana Kila Loka Padmam Vyudham Harin Mani Vrishastana Yoramushya Dhyayedvayam Vishadahara Mayukha Gauram Nabhi Hridam Bhuvana Kosha Guhodastham Guhodarastham Yatratma Yoni Dhishana Kila Loka Padmam Vyudham Harin Mani Vrishastana Yoramushya Dhyayendvayam Vishadahara Mayukha Gauram.
The yogi should then meditate on his moon-like navel in the center of his abdomen. From his navel, which is the foundation of the entire universe, sprang the lotus stem containing all the different planetary systems. The lotus is the residence of Brahma, the first created being.
I stop there. So this is about navel. So it's like moon-like navel. Right? Navel is also very effulgent like moon. It is in the center of abdomen. It is the foundation of entire universe, material creation. Because from that navel only, this universal lotus is sprouting and Brahma is taking birth. Just like a child is connected with the mother through the umbilical cord, similarly, Brahma is connected to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu through this universal lotus. Right? So, foundation of the entire universe, material creation. That from there sprang the lotus stem containing all the different planetary systems. Another verse comes in the 4th canto, Rudra Gita. పూర రేచక సంవిఘ్న వలివల్గు దలోదరం. కెన్ సమన్ ఓపెన్ ఇట్ 4.24 సమ్వేర్. ఇట్ డజన్ ఇట్స్ నాట్ దేర్, నాట్ ఇన్ రత్నమాల. 4.24, ఇన్ దట్ యూ ప్రెస్ దిస్ పూర రేచక. ఐ కెన్ ఆల్సో డూ ఇట్. పూర రేచక సంవిఘ్న వలి వల్గు దలోదరం. పూర రేచక సంవిఘ్న వలి వల్గు దలోదరం. ప్రతి సంక్రామయద్విశ్వం నాభ్యావర్త గభీరయ. దిస్ ఇస్ అనదర్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వర్డ్స్. సో పూర రేచక సంవిఘ్న, పూర రేచక విజస్థ, ఇన్హేలింగ్ ఎక్సేలింగ్. వెన్ ద లార్డ్ ఈజ్ ఇన్హేలింగ్ అండ్ ఎక్సేలింగ్, హిజ్ అబ్డామిన్ విల్ హ్యావ్ రిపుల్స్ లైక్ దిస్, రైట్? ఇట్ కమ్స్ అవుట్ అండ్ గోస్ ఇన్, రైట్? వెన్ యూఆర్ డూయింగ్ ఇట్, ఇన్హేలింగ్ అండ్ ఎక్సేలింగ్. సో ఇన్ ద మిడ్స్ట్ ఈస్ దిస్ నేవల్. సో వలి వల్గు దలోదరం, దెన్ ఫ్రమ్ దట్ నేవల్ కమ్స్ ద యూనివర్స్. ఆల్ ది యూనివర్సల్ డీటెయిల్స్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ దట్ నేవల్ ఓన్లీ. దట్ ఈస్ ద సోర్స్. సో ఆఫ్టర్ కమింగ్ అవుట్ ప్రతి సంక్రమయద్ విశ్వం, విశ్వం ద యూనివర్స్ కమ్స్ అవుట్ అండ్ దెన్ థింగ్స్, అరే వై డిడ్ ఈ కమ్ అవుట్? సచ్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ నేవల్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్, ఐ షుడ్ బి ది స్టేయింగ్ దేర్ ఓన్లీ, ఐ వాంట్ టు గో బ్యాక్, రైట్? వలి వల్గు దలో ప్రతి సంక్రమయద్ విశ్వం నాభ్యావర్త గభీరయ. సో ద యూనివర్స్ విల్ లుక్ బ్యాక్ అట్ ఇట్స్ సోర్స్, విచ్ ఈస్ ద లోటస్ నేవల్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్, అండ్ థింక్స్ దట్ ఐ షుడ్ నాట్ బి కమింగ్ అవుట్, ఐ షుడ్ నాట్ బి లీవింగ్ సచ్ ఎ వండర్ఫుల్ ప్లేస్, ఐ షుడ్ గో బ్యాక్ లైక్ దట్. నెక్స్ట్, కమింగ్ బ్యాక్ టు థర్డ్ క్యాంటో. నెక్స్ట్ ప్రభు, రీడ్ ద నిపుల్స్ పార్ట్.
In the same way, the yogi should concentrate his mind on the Lord's nipples, which resemble a pair of most exquisite emeralds, and which appears with whitish because of the rays of the milk-white pearl necklace adorning his chest.
So this is about nipples. They resemble most exquisite emeralds, appear whitish like that, because he is wearing a white pearl necklace. So it appears like that. Next is about the Lord's chest.
Vakshodhivasam rishabhasya mahavibhute pumsam manonayana nirvritimara adhadhanam kantham cha kaustubhamaner adibhushanartham కుర్యాన్మనస్యఖిల లోక నమస్కృతస్య వక్షోధివాసం ఋషభస్య మహావిభూతేః పుంసాం మనోనయన నిర్వృతమాదధానం కంఠం చ కౌస్తుభమణేర్ అభిభూషణార్థం కుర్యాన్మనస్యఖిల లోక నమస్కృతస్య.
The yogi should then meditate on the chest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the abode of God, Goddess Mahalakshmi. The Lord's chest is the source of all transcendental pleasure for the mind and full satisfaction for the eyes. The yogi should then imprint on his mind the neck of the Personality of Godhead, who is adored by the entire universe. The neck of the Lord serves to enhance the beauty of the Kaustubha gem which hangs on his chest.
So chest is the abode of Mahalakshmi. Where else does it come? Chest is the abode of Mahalakshmi. This time I don't remember, I'm asking you. First canto, 11th chapter, it comes somewhere. Third canto, does it come? So, Sriniketam. So, you can search. So, Lord's chest is the abode of Mahalakshmi. 1.10.26, you see? 26 or 27? Shriyodhamangam Achyutam. What is the next verse? Nityam nirikshamanam. After that, what verse is there? That is 25. 26. Nityam nirikshamanam ka next verse. 1.10.25 or 11.25? One of them. Sriyo nivaso yasyorha panapatram mukham drisham bahavo lokapalanam saranganam padambujam. Sriyo nivaso yasyorha. What is the meaning? Read. This is what I was looking for. Sriyo nivaso yasyorha. That is 1.11, right? 1.11.26. Number to yade kam se kam. So Sriyo nivaso yasyorha. Lord's chest is the abode of Mahalakshmi. And it is a source of all transcendental pleasure for the mind and the eyes. The neck is adorned by entire universe, and Lord's neck will enhance the beauty of Kaustubha Jam. So it's not that Kaustubha Jam is enhancing the beauty of Lord's neck. Lord's neck is enhancing the beauty of Kaustubha Jam. So that is the, any other related verse? How does it begin?
Yanmartya Lila Upaikam Svayoga Maya Balam Darshayita Grihitam Vismapanam Svasyacha Saubhagarde Parampadam Bhushana Bhushanangam.
Right? So Lord's bodily limbs are decorations for the ornaments. Ornaments are not decorations. Lord's body will beautify the ornaments. Lord's ornaments may not beautify the Lord. So these are some connected verses. So Prabhupada writes, so this is about the darshan of the Lord. He says, deity darshan is as good as direct darshan. Look at the deities. Lord's transcendental form can be either meditated in the mind or meditated upon in the temple. Right? In the mind, advanced devotees can meditate. In the temple, less advanced devotees can meditate. Are we less advanced or advanced? Advanced. Then you can meditate on mind. If you are less advanced, then we can meditate on the temple deity. You can decide who are you. So temple worship is recommended for less advanced people. So either by hearing or seeing or meditating, object is Lord's form only, transcendental form. So no question of voidness or impersonalism. So Lord bestows blessings of transcendental pleasure upon the visitors of temple, meditators who are yogis, and one who hears Bhagavatam. Okay? Everybody has their quota of mercy and blessings. So nine processes are there. One of them is smaranam. That smaranam can be done either on leela or nama, guna. Here it is rupa. Now 27th verse. Another beautiful verse.
Bhumascha mandara girehe parivartanena Bahumscha mandara girehe parivartatena Nirnikta Bahuvalayan Adhiloka Palan Sanchintaye Dashashatartam Asahyateja Shankham Chatatkarasuro Ruharaja Hamsam Bahumscha Mandara Girehe Parivartanena Nirnikta Bahuvalayan Adhiloka Palan Sanchintaye Dashashataram Asahyateja Shankham Chatatkarasaro Ruharaja Hamsam.
So this verse is meditation on four things: Lord's arms, Lord's ornaments, Lord's chakra and conch. Okay. Read.
The yogi should further meditate upon the Lord's four arms, which are the source of all the powers of demigods who control the various functions of the material nature. Then the yogi should concentrate on the polished ornaments, which were burnished by Mount Mandra as it revolved.
Okay, stop there. So this is the explanation of first two lines. Bahumscha mandara girehi Parivartanena. Parivartanena means revolving. So Mandaragiri was standing on the
surface of this kurma's shell, and demigods and demons are just doing this manthan, samudra manthan. So bahumsya mandara girer parivartanena, then what happened? Nirnikta bahuvalayan adhilokapalan. So Lord's ornaments got polished because of that. Right? So mandaragiri, it needed mandaragiri to polish Lord's ornaments. So they are polished. And Lord is feeling an itch sensation. Such a big mountain standing on his thing. He was feeling some itch, a scratching sensation. He was feeling very happy. He was feeling a little sleepy. Somebody is scratching, he was feeling sleepy. So that is about Lord's arms and ornaments. The next is Sanchintaye Dashashataram Asahya Tejaha. This is about Lord's chakra. Please read translation.
He should also duly contemplate that Lord's discus, the Sudarshan chakra, which contains 1,000 spokes and a dazzling lustre, as well as the conch, which looks like a swan in his lotus-like palm.
So conch looks like a swan. Where does it come? Another comparison. When Lord entered Dwaraka, he was blowing conch that was looking like swan playing in midst of lotus stems. That is clear. Then chakra is like, it's having 1,000 spokes. Sanchintaye dashashataram. Dashashata. 10 into 100, 1,000. Dashashataram asahya teja. Asahya teja means you can't tolerate its teja, its effulgence and its power. Dazzling luster. So that is mentioned. So one has to meditate on all this. Sanchintayet. So all departments of law and order emanate from arms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directed by different demigods. Okay. So all these ornaments and weapons of the Lord are also personalities. In the 6th canto, 8th chapter, there is a prayer, hymn, called Narayan Kavacha. Narayan Kavacha. There are prayers to Lord's weapons. There is prayer offered to Lord's chakra, Lord's gada, Lord's sword, Lord's conch, like that. So they are all personalities, they are all spiritual personalities. Okay, they are not material objects. Now 28th verse, another wonderful verse. Kaumodakim bhagavato daitam smareta. Digdhamarati bhatasho anita kardamena. Malam madhuvrata varu dhagiro apagushtam. Chaityasya tattva mamalam manimasya kanthe. Kaumodaki bhagavato daitam smareta. Digdhamarati bhatasho anita kardamena. Malam madhuvrata varu dhagiro apagushtam. Chaityasya tattva mamalam manimasya kanthe. So this verse speaks about Lord's club, Kaumodaki. Then garland, then pearl necklace. See this. Kaumodakim bhagavato daitam smareta. You meditate upon, you do smaran of Lord's Kaumodaki club. Digdham arati bhata shonita kardamena. So that blood, that gada of the Lord, Kaumodaki, is always tainted with the blood of demons. Digdham, arati. There are two kinds of living entities. One is arati. And second is, Prabhupada writes in the purport, pure devotees. Amala. It comes in the verse only. So there are two kinds of living entities, amala and arati. Amala means uncontaminated, pure devotees, who are not averse to service of the Lord. They want to serve the Lord. They want to hear about the Lord. They want to see the Lord. They want to worship the Lord. They are called Amala devotees. There are Arati people. They are demoniac people. They are averse to hearing Krishna Katha. They are averse to serving and worshipping the Lord. Such people are demons. So the Lord's Kaumodaki Gada is always tainted by the blood of these Arati fellows. Digdham arati bhata shonita kardhamena. Then next, mala madhuvrata varudha giropagishtam. Mala means Lord wears a wonderful mala, vanamala, garland. Madhuvrata,
So Mala Madhuvrata means all that wonderful garland of the Lord is surrounded by bees, humming bees. Varudha Girupa Gushtam, they are constantly surrounding and then making a buzzing sound. We have seen this image. So this is the description of this verse only. Mala Madhuvrata Varudha Girupa Gushtam. Then last line is about Lord's pearl necklace. That is Chaityasya Tattvam Amalam. I said second category of devotees, right? Amala. That is fourth line. Chaityasya Tattvam Amalam Manimasya Kanthe. So all Lord wears a wonderful pearl necklace, and the pearls of that necklace represent the pure devotees. Such is the position that Lord gives to his devotees, very close to his heart, right on his chest, around his neck. That is the position of devotees. Right? Chaityasya. Chaityasya means of the living entities. Tattvam Amalam. What is their tattva? What is the truth of these living entities? They are pure. They are not contaminated. Manimasya Kante. Lord wears in his kantha. Kanthahar. So this is the another verse. Kaumodaki, which is tainted by the blood of Aradi, devotee, demons. And pearl necklace, which represent pure devotees. Devotees of pure consciousness. And there is Malam. Vanamala, which is surrounded by humming bees. Next, 29th verse. 28 is done, right? 29th. Vrityanukampita dhiyeta grihita murteh sanchintayet bhagavato vadanaravindam Yadvispuran makarakundala valgitena Vidyotitamalakapola mudara nasam Bhrityanu kampita dhiyeta grihita murte Sanchintayet bhagavato vadanara vindam Yadvispuran makarakundala valgitena Vidyotitamalakapola mudara nasam
The yogi should then meditate on the lotus-like countenance of the Lord who presents his different forms in this world out of compassion for the anxious devotees. His nose is prominent and his crystal clear cheeks are illuminated by the oscillation of his glittering alligator-shaped earrings.
Now we have meditated till here, kanthatak. Lotus feet, then calves, then thighs, then hips, then chest, then nipples, and then the... what else we have meditated? And the arms and what is that called? Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, all that. After and till necklace. We have come till here. Now face is remaining. So that is this. Bhrityanu kampita dhiyeta grihita murtehe. So grihita murtehe means Lord accepts forms. Grihita means accepting. Murtehe means very various forms. For what? Bhritya anukampita. Out of his great compassion upon his servants, Lord accepts various forms. Dhiyeta. Dhiyeta means Lord's mind is constantly filled with compassion upon his servants. Vrityanu kampita dhiyehi grihita murtim. Where does it come? Yadyad dhiyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattatva puh pranayase sadanugrahaya. Same thing. Everybody could recollect that. Then sanchintayot bhagavato vadanaravindam. Abhi charanaravindam ho gaya beginning. Now vadanaravindam. Lord's lotus-like face. The lotus is the only beautiful object that we can relate to. So he uses aravindam every time. So sanchintayot, one has to meditate upon Lord's lotus-like countenance. Next. Yad vispuran makara kundala valgitena vidyot Vidyotitamala kapola mudaranasam. Next one has to meditate upon the cheeks and the nose of the Lord. Nose is very prominent and cheeks are crystal clear. And when Lord wears earrings, makarakundala, the shining, the glitter of that earrings will also shine the cheeks also. Where else does it come? Damodarashtakam. Bolo. How does it begin? Namavishwaram Sachidananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Bhrajamanam. That is the Rupa Vishesha of the Lord. One day we'll have Damodarashtakam retreat during Kartik. And not singing Damodarashtakam, discussion of Damodarashtakam. That we'll have every day. So, Yad Vispuran Makara Kundala Valgitena Vidyoti Tamala. So, Lord's cheeks are illuminated by the oscillation of glittering alligator shaped earrings, and nose is very prominent. So, yeah, Prabhupada writes this Advaita Machyutam Anadimananta Rupam. So many forms Lord takes only to please the devotees. So Lord need not come personally to kill the demons. Maya will take care. Lord need not come. Lord specifically comes to reciprocate with his devotees. Lord's killing of demons is a byproduct. Right? It's an insignificant byproduct for him. Why he has to come? Right? Why the supreme police officer has to come to catch a pickpocketer? No need. A constable can do the needful. Right. Similarly, Lord did not descend. Next. Yat Shri Niketa Malibhi Parisevyamanam Bhritya Svaya Kutila Kuntala Vrinda Jushtam Meena Dvaya Shrayam Adhikshapadab Janetram Dhyayen manomayam atandrita ulla sadbhru Yat Shri Niketa Malibhi Parisevyamanam Bhutyasvaya Kutila Kuntala Vrinda Jushtam Meenadvaya Shrayam Adhikshipadab Janetram Dhyayan manomayam atandrita ulla sadbhru. This is meditation on Lord's hair. Also face only, Lord's curly hair. Kutila kuntala. Next is lotus-like eyes, dancing eyebrows. Read.
The yogi then meditates upon the beautiful face of the Lord, which is adorned with curly hairs and decorated by lotus-like eyes and dancing eyebrows. A lotus surrounded by swarming bees and a pair of swimming fish would be put to shame by its elegance.
Yat Shri Niketa Malibhi Parisevyamanam. This is 30th verse. No? So, Lord's beautiful face is surrounded by curly hair. Where else does it come? I think this phrase I have used many times. Damodarashtakam. Bhishma's prayers also. Please tell me, what is the verse? Tribhuvana kamalam tamala varanam ravikara gaura varambudam dadane. Next. Kutila Kuntala is missing. Third line. Someone can open it. Meanwhile, you remember Ramadarashtakam verse. Gopi Gita also. Kutila Kuntalam Sri Mukham Drishe. Next. Damodarashtakam Kuntala. Namamishwaram Sachidananda Rupam. Second verse. What is the second verse? Dudantam Muhur Netra Yugvam Vrijantam Karam Bhoja Yugvena. My God, we'll get in touch in 2-3 days only. But the curly hair will come. Vritam kuntalai snigdha raktaisya gopya. Yeah, that is the one. How does the verse begin? Idam te mukham bojam atyanta neelai. Vritam kuntalai snigdha. Third verse. Fifth verse. So again, this is coming. Kutila kuntalam. Yogi then meditates upon the beautiful face of the Lord, which is adorned with curly hair. Yat Shri Niketa Malibhi Parisevyamanam. Next, Meenadvayashrayam. One beautiful comparison is given. Now there is lotus that is surrounded by bees and a pair of swimming fish. Right?
that will be put into shame, that scene will be put into shame by seeing the lotus face of the Lord. Here, Lord's eyebrows, dancing eyebrows, are compared to what? Fish. Lord's eyebrows are compared to swimming fish. Next, curly hair and decorated by lotus-like eyes. So comparison is not... curly hair and decorated by lotus-like eyes and dancing eyebrows. Eyebrows are representing the swimming fish. They are constantly moving. Then bees are eyes, eh? Bees are eyebrows. Okay, comparison not, we'll see later.
They're not compared.
We'll not spend time now. So, this scene is inferior to Lord's lotus face, which is adorned with beautiful hair and lotus-like this curly hair and eyes and dancing eyebrows. Okay. So, devotee never imagines a form. He likes a particular form and serves that form. So, he likes Ram form, he likes Krishna form and then serves. So, meditation is not imagination. That is the main point Prabhupada makes in this purport. It's meditation, it's not imagination. Next, comparison is given, I have written. So, lotus face is lotus. Black hair is the humming bees, swarming around the lotus. Two eyes are the two swimming fish. Okay. So, this is bees. Black, na? Bees are black. Tasyava lokam adhikam krapayati ghoram. Tapatrayo apashamanaya nisrishta makshnoha. Snigdhasmitanuganitam vipula prasadam. Dhyaye chiram vipula bhavanaya guhayam. Tasyava lokam adhikam krupayati ghoram. Tapatrayo apashamanaya nisrishta makshnoha. Snigdhasmitanugunitam vipula prasadam. Dhyayechiram vipula bhavanaya guhayam.
The yogis should contemplate with full devotion the compassionate glances frequently cast by the Lord's eyes, for they soothe the most fearful threefold agonies of his devotees. His glances accompanied by loving smiles are full of abundant grace.
So this is about the Lord's glances and smiles and eyes like that. Tasya avalokam krupaya adhikam krupaya ati ghoram. So Lord's avalokam means glance. So Lord is glancing upon living entities. That glance is filled with compassion. Lord never closes. We have deity. Tasya avalokam adhikam krupaya ati ghoram. He has a lot of compassion. Ati ghora tapatraya upasamanaya. So in this material world, the living entity is filled with the distress of tapatraya. Upasama. Upasama means pacification or mitigation or slowing down of those miseries will happen by seeing the Lord's beautiful glance. Right? Tasyava lokam adhikam krupayati ghora tapatrayopashamana nisrishtam akshnoha. By the eyes, cast from the nisrishtam akshnoha means those glances are cast from his compassionate eyes. Then snigdha smita means very pleasing smile, loving smile. Anugunitam vipula prasadam. His smita is also accompanied by his grace. He is smiling very gracefully. Next, dhyaye chiram vipula bhavanaya guhayam. In one's heart, one has to meditate upon the Lord's smile and glance for a long time. Meaning is clear. Dhyaye chiram vipula bhavanaya guhayam. So Prabhupada writes, as long as one is in the conditioned life, in the material body, there is suffering, anxiety, agony. One cannot avoid the influence of material energy. But at once, it is mitigated when devotee sees the pure form of the Lord
sees the glances of the Lord and sees the smiling face of the Lord. So smiling face is filled with compassion. Next comes the smile. We have only seen the glance. Now we will see the smile.
Hasam hare ravanata akhila loka tivra. Shokashru sagara visoshana matyudaram. Sammohanaya rajitam nijamaya yasya. Bhrumandalam nikrute makaradhvajasya. Hasam hare ravanata akhila loka tivra. Shokashru sagara visoshana matyudaram. Sammohanaya rajitam nijamaya yasya. Bhrumandalam nikrute makaradhvajasya.
This is again about Lord's smile. Hasam harer avanata akhila lokativra. Lord's smile, what is the effect of that? Avanata akhila means one who offers respects to the Lord, bows down in front of the Lord. Loka tivra shokashru sagara visoshanam. So Lord's smile, which is very benevolent, ati udaram, that will completely dry up the ocean of lamentation created by the tears of the conditioned soul. Conditioned soul is constantly crying because of these miseries and creating an ocean of misery, ocean of lamentation. But when Lord smiles, that ocean will become dry, right? Like summer pond, not like monsoon pond. So sokashru sagara, sagara is ocean, visoshanam atyudaram. So that is about Lord's smile, benevolent smile, atyudaram. Then sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya. So sammohanaya means very charming. Sammohan means it is very attractive. When you see that, you will become so enchanted by it. That is sammohanaya. Rachitam nijamaya yasya. So it is manifested by nijamaya, internal potency of the Lord. Nijamaya rachitam. Rachitam means rachankarna, means creation. So Lord's eyebrows, bhrumandalam, is manifested by Lord's internal potency. If one focuses on the enchanting movements of the eyebrows of the Lord, which are manifested by the internal potency, he will be saved from the lust. Right? Muni krite makaradhvajasya. Muni means sages. Makaradhvaja means there is sex god, Cupid. Cupid is holding that pushpaban and constantly shooting arrows upon everybody, right, to make them afflicted by lust. To protect oneself from the arrows of Cupid, one has to focus on the arrow-like, bow-like eyebrows of the Lord. Then he will be protected from the charms of sex god. Clear? Meaning is clear? So meditation on the smile of the Lord will dry away one's lamentation. Meditation on the eyebrows of the Lord will protect one from lusty attacks. So these are the solutions for miseries. So highest effect of meditating on the Lord's form is one can get love of God. And at our level also we can relate to it by seeing that how they will save us from material miseries also. So entire universe is full of grief. Therefore, inhabitants always are shedding tears out of intense grief. Ocean. That ocean will be dried up by surrender. Prabhupada says. Next. 33.
Dhyanayanam prahasitam bahuladharoshta. Bhasarunayita tanu dvijakunta pungpankti. Dhyayet svadeha kuhake kuhare vasitasya vishnor. Bhaktyar dayar pitamana napruthak didrikshet. Vishnor. ధ్యానాయనం ప్రహసితం బహుళాదరోష్ట భాసారుణాయిత తను ద్విజకుంత పంక్తి ధ్యాయే స్వదేహ కుహరే వసితస్య విష్ణోర్ భక్త్యార్ద్రయార్పితమనా న పృథక్ దిదృక్షేత్. లిటిల్ డిఫికల్ట్ టు ప్రొనౌన్స్ బై సీయింగ్ ఇంగ్లీష్. ఐ హావ్ రిటన్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఇన్ తెలుగు. సమ్ వర్సెస్ ఐ హావ్ నాట్ రిటన్. ఐఎమ్ స్ట్రగ్లింగ్ నౌ. రీడ్.
With devotion steeped in love and affection, the yogi should meditate within the core of his heart upon the laughter of Lord Vishnu. The laughter of Vishnu is so captivating that it can be easily meditated upon. When the Supreme Lord is laughing, one can see his small teeth, which resemble jasmine buds, rendered rosy by the splendor of his lips. Once devoting his mind to this, the yogi should no longer desire to see anything else.
ధ్యానాయనం ప్రహసితం బహుళాధరోష్ట్ర. సో వన్ షుడ్ మెడిటేట్ అపాన్ ది లాఫ్టర్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్. ఇట్స్ వెరీ క్యాప్టివేటింగ్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ ఈజీ టు మెడిటేట్. ధ్యాన అయనం, వెరీ ఈజీలీ యూ కెన్ మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ ది లాఫ్టర్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్. దెన్ ప్రహసితం బహుళ అధర ఓష్ట్ర. దెన్ భాస మీన్స్ ది స్ప్లెండర్ ఆఫ్ దట్ లాఫ్టర్. So when Lord laughs, the teeth will become little rosy because of the splendor of his lips, right? So they are like rows of jasmine buds. Dhyayet, one has to meditate upon. Swadeha kuhare, in one's own heart. Avisitasya Vishnoho. So one has to meditate upon the Lord who stays in his heart when he smiles, when he laughs, right? Bhaktya ardraya, this last line is important. Bhaktya ardraya. Bhakti ardha means very intense, ardraya. Bhakti, devotion steeped in love. Arpita manaha, one has to fix one's mind completely. So prathak didrakshet, he should not desire to see anything else. So Kapila Devi is bringing things to a conclusion. After meditating on various things, you meditate finally on the Lord's laughter, right? Now, Prabhupada writes in the purport, when one is absorbed in seeing the beauty of Lord within himself, the material attraction can no longer disturb him. So the solution to get attracted, the solution to for this material miseries and not to get attracted to this material objects is to develop attraction towards the Lord within oneself. So if internally one is content and fulfilled with some spiritual things, then external material things will not disturb him. That why they are disturbing, but internally it's hollow. When there is space here, they want to come and enter here. When it is filled with spiritual things, then they will not enter. They don't find any space. They get spaced out. Right? Otherwise, we get spaced out by giving them space within us. So, we have completed 33 verses. Now 34. I think we should not read verses now. Please read 34th translation.
By following this course, the yogi gradually develops pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. In the course of his progress in devotional service, the hairs on his body stands erect through excessive joy. And he is constantly bathed in the stream of tears occasioned by intense love. Gradually, even the mind, which he used as a means to attract the Lord, as one attracts a fish to a hook, withdraws from material activities.
So this is the turning point verse. After such an absorbing meditation on various limbs of the Lord, what will a yogi do? He gradually develops love for the Lord by exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy. Hair standing on end, tears are coming from his ears. He gets ecstasy by meditating. Gradually, what he does is he withdraws mind from that form. This ecstasy is disturbing me. A sadhaka devotee, just like great devotees like Daruka and who else, Bharat Maharaj, they control their tears of ecstasy to engage in the service of the Lord. It's an interruption. My ecstasy is an interruption in my service. That's a devotional ecstasy and controlling of devotional ecstasy to do service. But here, this yogi, He is getting ecstasy by seeing the form of the Lord and he is withdrawing from it. That is very unfortunate condition. That is great misfortune. So he withdraws his hook like, gradually he withdraws his hook like mind from all material activity, and Chakvatpad gives another thing. He withdraws his mind from that form also. I see the note in Subodhani. He mentions that an unfortunate yogi, in spite of developing love for the God, also withdraws his mind from his beautiful form because he is not fixed in that taste. Such a yogi is cheated by bhakti rasa, cheated of bhakti rasa, sorry. The Lord gives such a yogi the realization of pratyagatma, individual soul, but not the liberation with realization of paramatma. So such a person will withdraw the mind from the Lord. He is very unfortunate. So now Kapila continues to respond to Devahuti's question. In 3.27.17-20. Yesterday we have seen, right? Yeah. Right. Tell me. Mike.
Guruji, what is this? Because he is not fixed in that state?
Fixed in that taste.
Because already he has developed taste for seeing the beautiful form of the Lord. So which taste is mentioned here?
No, he has developed taste, but he is not fixed. Means developing means like he developed to a certain extent, but it's not very deep-rooted taste. It's not, for example, somebody may come to the temple, he gets impressed by all the activities in the temple, and he likes to interact with devotees, he likes to chant and all, but he may go back after spending a day. He may not want to stay there. But a new IYS bhakta, he may develop more inspiration to continue and interact with devotees. He will come back tomorrow, day after tomorrow, month after month, year after year, and he will join Brahmachari. Right? So there is, by association with some object, if one's taste and attraction to that object develops, then he will desire to continue to associate with it. But it has not developed to such an extent that he wants to continue meditating on it. He wants to withdraw. He is an unfortunate yogi, Chakvatpada describes. That is his misfortune, that he withdraws. Getting right?
Yeah, but for him to go back to impersonal liberation, that means he must have had higher taste for that than this. But he is meditating from beginning only on the Lord. That means this is where he started.
This is a part of his Ashtanga Yoga. He did Yama, Nima, Asana, Vagara, and he came to Dhyana. He meditated on the Lord. For him, it's another ritual of meditation. It's one more stage. I have to cross this stage and enter Samadhi. But by doing this process in this stage, one can develop devotion and then become a devotee also. For him, it's another stage. Just like developing knowledge about the absolute truth is one of the limbs of this jnana person, but he's focused on that. He's focused on impersonal liberation. So like that. Yogi also. Now, 35th verse. Read.
When the mind is thus completely freed from all the material contaminations and detached from the material objectives, it is just like the flame of a lamp. At that time, the mind is actually dotted with that of the Supreme Lord and is experienced as one with Him because it is freed from the interactive flow of the material qualities.
So 34th purport, Prabhupada is writing, that when mind is forcibly engaged upon Lord's form, it is nirbija yoga, lifeless yoga. See this, forceful engagement. Yogi doesn't automatically engage in the personal service of the Lord, which is sabija yoga. So by fixing one's mind on Lord's form, one's senses are purified and he will develop devotional service and gets a higher taste. But if he just forcibly as a ritual he engages, he may not automatically develop love and attraction for it. Right.
So those already engaged in transcendental loving service are above such meditation. Those who are already engaged in loving service of the Lord are above such meditation, yogic meditation. So for him it's theoretical, Prabhu. Right? There are not much feelings attached to it. Right? He's doing that activity like a ritual. It's lifeless yoga. Then 35th verse. No? 35th verse. The mind thus detached from material contamination is like a flame of a lamp and is actually dovetailed with that of the Supreme Lord as it is freed from the flow of material qualities. So material mind is destroyed. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, in material world, acts of mind are acceptance and rejection. Mind is not material consciousness. One must be forcibly trained to meditate upon the Supreme Lord. When one is actually elevated to the loving service of the Lord, then mind is automatically absorbed in the thought of the Lord. No other thoughts except service will come. That is the actual stage of nirvana. Like that. So lamp, when it is broken or when the oil in the lamp is finished, flame will go out. Okay. But flame is not extinguished when the lamp is conserved. Similarly, mind stops functioning on the material platform when it is conserved in the activities of the Supreme Lord. Just like lamp's flame is nicely glowing when the fuel is there. Similarly, when somebody is engaging in devotional service of the Lord, then mind will not get distracted towards so many other things. 36, can someone read?
Thus, situated in the highest transcendental stage, the mind ceases from all material reaction and becomes situated in its own glory, transcendental to all material conceptions of the happiness and distress. At that time, the yogi realizes the truth of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He discovers that pleasure and pains as well as their interactions, which he attributed to his own self, are actually due to the false ego, which is a product of ignorance.
So now he will gain the right understanding that if he develops attraction towards the Lord's form, then he realizes that he has a relationship with the Lord, and he discovers that whatever pleasure and pain I am undergoing are only because of my false ego and ignorance. So he gets that understanding. Read the next verse.
Because he has achieved this real identity, the perfectly realized soul has no conception of how the material body is moving or acting. Just as an intoxicated person cannot understand whether or not he has clothing on his body.
So because he attains his real identity by that mature devotional service, so he acts as if unaware of the body. Yesterday I was giving that example, right? Coconut shell. Coconut is detached from within. Right? He's unaware. Like that. 38.
The body of such a liberated yogi, along with the senses, is taken charge of by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it functions until its destined activities are finished. The liberated devotee is being awake to his constitutional position and thus situated in samadhi, the highest perfectional stage of yoga, does not accept the byproducts of the material body as his own. Thus, he considers his bodily activities to be like the activities of a body in a dream.
So, for such a liberated yogi, who is taken charge by the Lord, right? Lord takes control over his things. Then he need not focus more on his other functions, right? He need not actually take care of his bodily maintenance and all. Lord will maintain it. We have seen so many examples of avadhuta and so many people who are not endeavoring to maintain their bodies anymore. They are just dependent on the Lord. Now, some of the similar things you will see in Devahuti's life also in 33rd chapter of this canto, where Devahuti was meditating on the Lord the way Kapildeva has described so far, but in a devotional way. She was doing all this process. She was fixing her meditation on the form of the Lord. So Lord started taking care of her. She did not become emaciated. She did not become very thin or lean. She did not become malnourished or undernourished. Her body was taken care of, but she is aloof from that body. Internally, she was totally focused on the Lord only. Devahuti by this practice taught by Kapila. Okay. So Prabhupada is writing in the purport. Even after being switched off, an electric fan may move for some time. So you switch off, it's still moving. Similarly, this liberated soul, he switched off from this material world. Still externally, his body may still be around for some time. He may still stay in this body for a while. It's just a matter of fact before the fan completely stops rotating. Similarly, it's just a matter of time before the yogi completely goes back to the spiritual realm. Like that. Read 39th verse.
Because
what is the understanding of such a wonderful yogi?
Because of great affection for family and wealth, one accepts the son and some money as his own. And due to the affection for the material body, one thinks that it is his. But actually, as one can understand that his family and wealth are different from him, the liberated soul can understand that he and his body are not the same.
So, he no longer identifies himself with the material body and material bodily possessions, etc. Just like a person is different from his wealth, a person is different from his son or daughter or family, but because of this bodily identification only, he thinks that this is mine, this is mine, this is I. So that is gone now. Coconut inside pulp is detached from the shell. So, yeah, read.
The blazing fire is different from the flames, from the spark and from the smoke. Although all are intimately connected because they are born from the same blazing wood.
Read the next verse also.
Yeah. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as a Param, Brahma, is the seer. He is different from the Jiva soul or individual living entity who is combined with the senses, the five elements and consciousness.
So, he gives a very nice example. Fire is there. There is a big fire element. A part of the fire is the heat, the light, the sparks, the flames. Constantly so many flames are coming. One flame will come, that will go, next flame will come, that will go, like that, simultaneously so many flames will come. So fire as an element is existing, but all these flames are coming and going, right? So smoke is coming, sparks are coming. Similarly, and wood is there. So fire is different from this wood, sparks and smoke, etc. Similarly, Bhagavan is there. From him, so many things are coming, but still he remains aloof. Bhagavan is also different from the Jiva combined with the senses, the five elements and consciousness. We have seen Mahavishnu, from him 23 elements are coming. So it's keep on coming. Right? Every time he breathes, the creation comes out and then breathes in, it goes in. So just like fire element is constantly there, but the smoke, other byproducts of fire are coming and going. Similarly, Lord is constantly there. All these elements are coming and going. Like that. Example. So that is understanding of the yogi. Yogi attains this kind of understanding. Okay. Read next verse.
A yogi should see the same soul in all manifestations. For all that exists is a manifestation of different energies of the Supreme. In this way, the devotee should see all living entities without distinction. That is the realization of the Supreme Soul.
Okay. So he should see super soul in everyone and everyone in the super soul. Means everyone resting on the super soul, existing on the basis of super soul. And super soul is present in everything. That is understanding. Next, 43.
As the fire is exhibited in different forms of wood, so under different conditions of the modes of material nature, the pure spirit soul manifests itself in different bodies.
Just as fire appears different from the other elements that we discussed, forms of wood. So under different conditions of the modes, the spirit soul manifests itself in different bodies. Fire is different. When it burns one kind of wood, it has different shape. When it is burning some papers, that has a different shape. Right? But fire is same. It is manifesting in different areas. This kind of analogy will come in the 11th canto also. Same analogy. Fire and flames analogy. Similarly, pure spirit soul is there. Sometimes he is in dog body, sometimes he is in bird body, sometimes human body. But soul quality is same. He remains intact.
Last verse. Thus, the yogi can be in the self-realized position after conquering the insurmountable spell of Maya, who presents herself as both the cause and effect of this material manifestation, and is therefore very difficult to understand.
Okay. So thus he conquers the insurmountable Maya and becomes a self-realized personality. So Prabhupada quotes in that purport, Daivihi Esha Gunamayi, all that. So in the 43rd purport, Prabhupada says, fire in a big log of wood is big and in a small stick is small. But the qualities of fire are same everywhere. A big log is there, fire becomes big. Small stick is there, fire appears small. But the quality of fire is same. Similarly, soul is there. If the soul enters the body of a squirrel, he looks small. If he enters the body of a human, he is like this. If he becomes a human being in Satyuga, he becomes even bigger. Like this, big. But the quality of soul is same. Okay. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.